about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
If we're going to have an adult conversation, let's have an adult conversation.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Is there some archive where we can find when Psycho Mike and Omar visited you?
It's the Let's Paint.
Let him answer the question, Kevin. Let him answer the question. I'm sorry. Say it again, John.
It's the New Year.
I'm interested to know. I really want to hear. Let the man talk.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
It's the New Year.
And now, I just think it's a bad idea. It's definitely a bad idea.
I'm going to do it.
Oh, you got to do it.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Our feature presentation.
Oh, I miss Thriller.
What a dick. What a dick move.
He totally was.
You keep suckering him in. No, I'm sorry. No, you go ahead.
This time I mean it.
This time it's going to be good.
You remember where that started was the giant Thriller dance-off or whatever the hell that was.
Mm-hmm.
Where they were. Yeah.
Trying to set a Guinness World Record or something for the most people doing the Thriller dance. And we had the guy in to promote it, and you wouldn't let him do it?
Every time he tried to give the website. And that started about 8 months of cutting everybody off like that.
Yep. Good times. And then we transitioned into the phase where everyone vomits. So we're still in that phase. But I think we're on the tail end of that one, don't
I'm
you?
Hoping.
Seems like it. Yeah.
I hope that one's finally winding down a little bit.
Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Monday, the 17th of June.
I had something else I was going to do here, but like Kevin, I'm so in love with Miss Utah that I think we need to discuss her because I think you're right, Kevin. I think she's your soulmate.
She's my soulmate.
I think she's the best. Now, having said that, and we'll play the tape here in a moment, here's the thing about these beauty pageants is these women are not there because they're the smartest people in the room.
Right.
That's not how you get to represent a state in a beauty pageant.
That'd be a terrible pageant.
It would
be good for those answers, but it'd be a terrible pageant otherwise.
Right. She's vying for Miss USA, and they ask her a question, and she, has another fail. And of course, you become instantly famous these days because it goes right up on YouTube, and everybody makes fun of you until the next one. Used to be Miss Teen South Carolina. Remember, she was our beauty pageant winner. So Miss Utah is at the pageant last night. Her name is Marissa Powell. And by the way, could she wear more makeup? Doesn't she look like a clown?
Yes, clown.
Like a clown.
Yeah, I'm going with clown.
So they ask her a question. I guess Nene Leakes is a reality TV star. She's the one who asked the question. Let's hear what it was.
A recent report shows that in 40% of American families with children, women are the primary earners, yet they continue to earn less than men. What does this say about society?
Now, by the way, I would be terrible at the pageant questions that they ask.
Well, that's that question needs about a half hour to be responded
well, that's
to.
True.
And they have like a couple of sentences.
Yeah. I mean, how would you answer a question like that? What would you say if you're the person who's put on the spot to say, why do women in 2013 make less money for the same work as men? What would you say?
I would say we still have a ways to go in terms of equality in this country. That's it.
Lisa wins.
All right. Well, you should have been Miss Utah because here's what she said.
I think we can relate this back to education and how we are continuing to try to strive
two. All right, now two things at this point. One is get Daft Punk to back away from the microphone.
Right.
One.
Right.
And two is she stops and a smile comes over her face and she thinks that thing that so many of us have thought over the years, which is, I'm going to be on YouTube.
And not for a good reason.
She knows at this moment that she is lost and she's thinking, how can I save this?
Two. Figure out how to create jobs right now. That is the biggest problem. And I think especially the men are seen as the leaders of this. And so we need to try to figure out how to create education better so that we can solve this problem. Thank you.
So
I think she's right. We need to fix the education system better.
And by creating education better.
And men do that. So I see your point. I'm with her.
What I think happened is she had her mind went completely blank on the question, and she thought, what's my charity or what's my cause that I'm here representing? It's education. All right, I got to figure out a way to talk about education, because I don't think the answer has to do with education.
No, of course, I don't think so either. I think she just had no idea what the answer to that question was. So she's
exactly.
You know what it is, too? They really feel the need to not gather themselves and take a minute, but just start talking.
Right. That is true.
So she just starts talking. And who knows what came out of her mouth.
We need to try to figure out how to create education better.
Okay. That's going to be our mission today, then.
We do need that. That's true. That's hard to argue.
Good times.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Hurry up with my damn croissants.
Take it easy, Kanye. We have Steve Lillywhite in studio today. He, of course, is one of the best music producers of all time. Has worked with everybody.
Yeah.
We had him in one time before, and it just wasn't enough. So we have him back today. He's got
too many stories.
He really does. He's got stories for days. Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. Mm-hmm. Coming up this morning in the 6 o'clock hour, as usual. We have Matt Money Smith talking about sports, NBA finals, NHL finals. NBA going back to Miami for two games. I want to ask Money why they changed that whole playoff format. In the NBA, it's 2-3-2. Mm-hmm. Two games at home, three games away, and two games at home. And in the NHL, and like it used to be in the NBA, it's two games, and then 1-1-1.
Oh.
So I don't know exactly why they did that. But also, massage surprises.
Oh, boy.
You went to get a massage, and something good or bad happened. But it was a surprise either way.
I think massage surprises may be playing the Epicenter this year. That's I guess we'll find out later this morning.
We have that announcement of the Epicenter. We're going to give you those details. And more info on Ralph's story that he did last week about Sesame Street, putting up a video so that kids can understand what happens when mommy and daddy go to jail.
Aw, that's sweet.
Which I think is really, that's sweet. That's a good word for it, right? So that's coming up as well. We'll take a break, and we will come back with the Showbiz Beat.
The 5th annual Epicenter announcement this morning, just after 7 o'clock here on the Kevin and Bean Show. That show is coming up again this year with another great lineup, and we'll tell you all about it on the way. It is Monday. Ralph is here. Time for our first look at the showbiz. Good morning, Ralph.
Because it is Monday, we always take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. And as expected, the latest Superman film, Man of Steel, did very well at the weekend box office. $113 million.
Wow.
Closer to $125 million if you toss in the additional Thursday night Walmart showings. So, pretty strong opening for the Man of Steel, or the Meh of Steel, as I'm calling it.
Meh. You didn't love it.
Yeah.
Do you think part of the problem is that you your expectations were too high?
No, not really.
Huh.
No.
Because I can kind of dampen
especially
you.
Since Kevin Smith was on here Friday, and he was just short of a rave about it.
Yeah. Kevin and I, if you want to listen to our battling opinions of the film, you can go to a podcast called Fat Man on Batman that he does every week. This was a departure week. We did Fat Man and Garman on Superman, and we talked about it. But I had problems with it from a filmmaking point of view, regarding the character and stuff. I thought there was a lot of problems, but it was considerably better than Superman Returns, that Bryan Singer's last Superman film.
Well, it's not really.
So we'll see if the second one in the proposed trilogy of these films is better than this film. This is the End, in its debut, $20 million, made it number two at the box office this weekend. Now You See Me was third, Fast and Furious 6 was fourth, The Purge was fifth, The Internship, Epic, Star Trek Into Darkness, After Earth, and Iron Man 3, still in the top 10 with $2.9 million, was number 10.
There's a lot of geek movies in that top 10, by the way.
Yeah.
It looks like a Comic-Con showing at the Comic-Con multiplex, doesn't it?
Big story over the weekend, of course, goes to Kim Kardashian and Kanye West welcoming their baby girl into the world at Cedars-Sinai Medical Center. The baby came 5 weeks early, so they were actually in the NICU, the Cedars NICU, which I'm very familiar with, and we raised money for here with our April Fool's in this show. So you're welcome, Kanye West. You can come by and thank us anytime you want.
Hurry up with my damn croissants!
All right, that's what he was saying in the delivery room. I think it's a miracle that he was there. I was stunned and shocked with the news that he was actually in attendance when she had the baby.
Yeah, we just heard he was in Switzerland a couple days ago, right?
Yeah. He wasn't. The baby wasn't scheduled to arrive until July the 12th. I'm sure he would have managed to have been out of town if he could have had the warning. He got caught. He got caught unaware. He happened to be in town when she was having the baby. No word yet on what the baby's name is going to be. little girl's name, speculating they're going to give her a K name, like the rest of the Kardashian clan.
But she's not strictly a Kardashian. She's also a West.
West.
But I'm guessing Kim is going to call the shots when it comes to naming the baby.
Since she'll be around later and he won't.
That's right.
It's a good point.
By the way,
isn't there some product that could step up and offer Kim enough money to name the child after that? Because it seems like she would take that deal. You know how she is about, tweeting out commercials and whatnot.
Sure. Possible names for Kanye and Kim's new baby, according to insiders. Ka-ching, croissant, Capital One, Calliope, canola, and Hare Krishna. So we'll see. The departure, just in the case. May have left the Betty Ford Clinic for a very good reason. Now, rumors at the time were that she was having problems with the staff and refused to follow the rules, and there was a mutual parting of ways. However, another source, Fox 411, the website, says that it turns out there was an incident at the clinic where another patient managed to sneak in a substantial amount of OxyContin.
Ah.
And was handing it out to several other patients, and Lindsay was not happy with that. Where it is that she's doing very well in recovery and didn't want to deal with any possible temptation.
Really?
So this might actually have been a move in order to maintain her sobriety.
Wow.
That she went on to Cliffside, the other facility in Malibu. So if that's the case, look at her showing a little wherewithal.
That's the case. Congratulations.
Yeah. And while we're talking about celebrities with run-ins with the law, Jeff Garland this weekend is my new favorite celebrity. Doing time. The Curb Your Enthusiasm actor was popped on felony vandalism charges in Studio City, California. Word is he got into a verbal altercation with another driver over a parking spot. Things escalated quickly, and he ended up smashing the windows of their Mercedes-Benz.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Dude.
As of this time, he is still behind bars facing charges. So, little anger management issue for Jeff Garland.
Now, a guy like that, it seems like they would let out on his own recognizance. Do you think it was just because it was the weekend he kind of had to stick around?
I'm guessing that's probably the case. But good for him. Guy probably deserved it, man. I smashed the windows myself. I've tried to park in that neighborhood, and I know it makes me a little angry. Today's celebrity birthday is Venus Williams, 33 years old today. Actor-comedian Will Forte is 43. Jason Patrick, very talented actor, is 47. Greg Kinnear turns 50. Thomas Hayden Church is 52. Director Bobby Farrelly of the Farrelly Brothers is 55 years old. Comedian Joe Piscopo, remember him from Saturday Night Live?
Yeah.
Long time ago.
Joe Piscopo, 62 years old today. And I think that is all the celebrity birthdays. I believe that is everyone.
Excuse me, I think you're missing one. There's a young man who entertained the masses at the Greek over the weekend named Barry Manilow who celebrates his birthday today, Ralph Garman.
Yeah. Young man Barry Manilow is 70 years old today.
Yeah. He's still the best, though.
I think you did the right thing.
The best what?
Just of everything. He's just awesome.
You know how when you're in a marriage, you have to give. There's some give and take. You know, you ask her to come see a movie she may not want.
Uh-huh.
She asks you perhaps to go to the Barry Manilow show at
right.
the Greek.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I heard from quite a few
Kirk
listeners that went over the weekend. That
not
a
going
great
to that.
Time.
You don't bend in that particular
not in that
area.
One. I'll bend anywhere else, but yeah. not with Barry Manilow.
He'll bend over, but he won't bend for Barry
correct.
Manilow.
That's correct.
Yeah. He's 70 years old today. Can he just die? Can we just be done with him?
I'm with that.
No, let's, no.
Let's send over a missive. Let's send over a quick note to Barry.
I like it.
Just lay down, Barry. Take the long nap.
How dare you?
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
Monday morning, we like to catch up in the TMZ newsroom with our friend Harvey Levin. Unfortunately, Harvey Levin doesn't like to catch up with us, but his number two, Dax Holt, is on the phone with us now. Hi, Dax. Good morning.
What up, guys? Hey, Lisa Mae.
Hello.
Always great to talk to you, sir. I'm a little bit depressed, I have to be honest, about how much we're going to be hearing about this stupid Kim Kardashian baby over the next year. Like, it's going to be all about the photo and all about the outfits and all about the name and the first steps.
Oh, come on. This is our royal child here in the U.S.
Easy.
Hey, you're not exaggerating. That's exactly what it feels like. So what happens at TMZ? I mean, do you guys does everybody's pager go off when she goes into labor? Like, you all are on duty?
Pretty much. The beacon goes out, the TMZ gets shown in the sky, and we all run to the office. No, honestly, we've got a lot of good sources, so it doesn't take too much. But, we had found out that on Friday night she went into labor, and then Saturday morning she was in there giving birth at Cedars. And, 5 weeks early, you guys.
Yeah.
That's pretty early baby.
It is, yeah.
It is early. I mean, it's, you know, it's well past the point of danger if the baby is otherwise healthy and of a decent weight, though. I mean, the baby's fine as far as we know, right?
Yeah, baby's fine. We're hearing both of them are all good. Kanye was by her side the whole time.
That's not possible, first of all.
Shocking.
Come on.
Ralph was mentioning how unlikely it was that Kanye would even be in the same status as Kim because he's been gone so much lately.
He's been gone, but they've been trying to spend as much time together as they can. Look, they're busy people.
Yeah.
He can't stop his whole life for the every moment of the pregnancy.
Right, or the birth.
Yeah, and, you know. But he was there, and, you know, there was a lot of confusion over the weekend. A lot of people saying that there was a C-section. We are being told it was natural birth, though. That baby popped out.
Is this old-fashioned of me to even ask Dax, but has there ever been any talk of them getting married?
I mean, she just literally got the divorce the other day. So. Yeah.
Oh, that's true. She wasn't even able to think about getting married, right?
Yeah, I know that they wanted to just... She was more just worried about being divorced once the baby came out.
Right, so she mission accomplished there.
Mission accomplished there, and now she can worry about the kid, and if they really want to get married down in the future. But, you know, honestly, there's a lot of couples in Hollywood, it works well when they don't get married.
Sure. Yeah. Hey, if the relationship works, why screw it up, right?
Yeah.
All right, let me ask you just a couple more quick things, then we're going to move on. And that is, first of all, no idea what the name is going to be. Is there usually you guys report on some sort of a betting site or something like that where we can guess?
I haven't seen any betting sites, but you know what they're doing, right?
No. What are they doing? Tell me about that.
Yeah, well, obviously, with all these celebrity kids, you can release the name later because magazines will pay for that, TV shows will, you know, try to get their hands on that kind of thing.
Wait, they'll pay for the name? I thought they'd pay for the photos.
Well, they'll pay for the photos, but I think if there's a name that comes along with those photos, that is a huge get for them.
Wow. How about that?
Yeah, I mean, you're releasing the information, so if you get the photos, you release the name, that's huge.
Kanye,
for you.
Here's my feeling. Kanye loves Kanye.
Right.
And Kanye begins with a K.
Uh-huh.
So it's going to be Kanye. That's the name.
Well, you also got to realize Kardashians love Kardashians.
I know, but...
And they all have K names.
Kanye
as well.
Trumps Kardashians, I think.
But it's a girl, though. What are you suggesting that he's going to name this kid?
Kanye. Fidelity, that's what I think.
Kanye Jr., even though it's a girl.
Yes.
All right, let's move on to one of my favorite actors and comedians, Jeff Garlin, is in the news. This was a shocker. He just, of course, he's the, you know, the big guy who plays the manager on Larry David's Curb Your Enthusiasm, for folks who don't know. Has a very successful comedy career as well. But he's a guy who just seems like one of those big teddy bears who's, like, super mellow. You don't picture him, like, snapping. What happened, Dax?
This is probably one of the best stories because I know everyone that lives here in L.A. wants to recreate this story but can't legally.
No question. Has almost done that, too.
So on Saturday, he was in Studio City, and he was arrested for felony vandalism around 3 p.m. I guess he got in a verbal fight with another person over a parking spot, and then it just got out of control, and it resulted in him allegedly smashing the windows of the other person's Mercedes.
With what? His hands?
I don't know what he smashed. It was. It doesn't say. But he was taken to jail, and then Sunday morning he was released. I'm just saying, there's so many times when that jerk pulls in front of you,
grabs
the parking spot, and all you want to do is smash their window.
There's no question about that. You've been waiting for that spot, and somebody just sneaks right in, and you go, "Oh, I'm gonna!" And he just snapped. Must have been maybe a tire iron or something. I don't know.
Something. Grab something out of his car, probably, and just smash the windows.
I mean, let's think about it. In that situation, what are your options? There's really nothing you can do, right?
You have to move on. I mean, you can yell at the person, but
right.
What good is going to do? You're not getting the parking spot.
Wow.
I'd park behind him.
Just block him in?
Just go into the store.
Is this serious? This isn't the type of thing he could go back to jail for or
felony
anything like that?
Vandalism. It's a felony, you guys. So, yeah, this is a pretty big deal. You can't go around, because if it's over $500 in damage, which a window, you start smashing windows, it's going to be over $500.
Right.
That's
of course,
felony right there.
Wow. Interesting to see what's going to happen next. All right. Fantastic. Excellent work. You can check your local listings for all the great TMZ television shows, including TMZ Live, my favorite, at 4 p.m. on Fox Channel 11. Dax Holt in the newsroom. We'll let you get to your meeting, man. Thanks so much for the time, sir.
Thanks. I have to tell you one thing.
Yes.
Sorry.
You have to tell us one thing.
You can't tell us one thing after we've said goodbye, Dax.
I didn't realize we were done until you started giving me the music. no, I was going to say, you have to go on and look at the Michael Jackson death scene photos. We put up
a gallery of
155
crazy
photos. I couldn't stop clicking through them, you guys. It shows the masks that he had the kids wear. It shows the doll that he slept with.
The doll?
Really?
It is the most insane inside look into Michael Jackson's life, and I don't know why people aren't talking about it more today, but it's insane.
And I don't want people to be nervous when you hear the death scene photos. It's not the body. It's nothing gross or anything like that. It's just, it's his house. It's what was going on in his house. And of course, it does include like the drugs and stuff like that. But he was living a freaky life, wasn't he?
Yeah. And it kind of looks like something out of Hoarders. Like there's just boxes of stuff everywhere.
That would have been so awesome if Michael Jackson was on Hoarders. That would have been great.
And keep in mind, people in his life had never seen the inside of his bedroom. Like, he kept everyone out of it, so now you're seeing what's in there. I couldn't stop clicking. It was amazing.
Yeah.
All right, can we say goodbye now, Dax?
We can say goodbye now. Sorry.
All right, see you later.
Thank you, Dax.
You can win your first pair of tickets to the Epicenter at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater coming up on Saturday, September 21st, featuring The Offspring, Bad Religion, Pennywise, and more in about 30 minutes or so, right here on The Kevin and Bean Show. Also, Massage Surprises and mega producer Steve Lillywhite joins us on the show as well. Hey, Matt Money Smith from the Petrus and Money Radio Show. How are you, my friend?
I'm all right. What's happening, guys?
Appreciate you joining us bright and early today. You know, everything you told us last time we had you on about the San Antonio Spurs turns out to be true, is they just have so many weapons that they're almost impossible to beat.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, Danny Green, Finals MVP.
Right?
There you go.
Danny Green.
What's up with that? Has he been that good all season?
You know, Manu got hurt, and that's kind of when he got all his minutes. And, yeah, he stepped in, and he played great. And same thing with Gary Neal, the guy that made all those three-pointers in game three. Those guys are shooters. That's what they do. You know, they're going to bomb from the outside. And, you know, the Miami Heat, they don't have as good as they are on defense. The Spurs have that many shooters that can just cut them up because they pass the ball so well.
Yeah, you're right. After you chastised me last time, I was watching for that.
Are you in though? Are you in now? Are they not? Are they no longer boring? Do you kind of follow along how fun that team can be?
Yes, I do follow along how good that team can be, and I am amazed at Manu Ginobili and a couple of different guys. But I still hate Tim Duncan. Maybe more now.
Why do you hate him more?
Just because everything I thought before has been solidified. That's all. But let me ask you this: what was the common thinking beforehand? Was Miami pretty much already crowned?
Oh yeah,
they were. Okay.
Well, you know what? No, I shouldn't say that. I think if you polled the so-called experts, the analysts, it was probably pretty split. There, you know, everybody we talked to. You know, regularly, Don McLean, guys like that, they all were taking the Spurs.
They were.
Oh. Yeah, they just like the discipline, and a lot of it has to do with coaching. You know, their head coach, Greg Popovich, is overwhelmingly considered the best coach in the league and a guy that knows how to make adjustments and figure a series out and how to win a series. Now, if these guys are healthy, that's the team you go with.
Now, speaking of the series, I want to ask you this question because I don't know. Why did they change it to 2-3-2 from 2-2-1-1-1?
For a-holes like us in the media, because it was too hard for, you know, it's one thing for teams to hop on a charter and go from L.A. to Boston for games 5, 6, and 7, but it was pretty hard for the media to get their stories in, take the first flight back to L.A., go to the game the next night, take the first flight the next morning back to Boston.
What? It,
yeah, basically the media started, you know, bitching and moaning, and that's what led to them saying, all right, fine. 2-3, and then 2, that way you guys aren't traveling.
So you play 2 in Miami, 3 in San Antonio. Now they're going back to Miami for the last two games.
Yeah.
And
it's a horrible format.
It is. But Miami has to win both.
Well, yeah, but it stinks for everybody. I mean, and that's the problem, is it's really hard. When you get to the finals, you have two really good teams, and it's hard to beat a really good team three times in a row. So basically, home court is always going to get thrown out. There's really no home court advantage in the finals, which there should be. You know, if you win the regular season and you have the best record over the course of 82 games, you ought to be rewarded for that.
Yeah,
you should have the 2-2-1-1-1 like they do in every other format.
This is the voice of Matt Money Smith from the Petrus Money Radio Show. You can hear him weekday afternoons at AM 570 in Southern California. I want to ask you again about Coach Popovich, because you talk about how great he is at making the adjustments. How do you have the confidence in a guy like Manu Ginobili to put him in such a major role last night, or in the last game, when he has sucked the whole playoffs? Like, how did he know that was going to work?
I think it's twofold. One, Manu's one. And, you know, look, if Manu's not in San Antonio, he's going to probably be a superstar. I mean, and I mean like a legit superstar.
Really?
If that guy's like a New York Knick or a Chicago Bull or a Laker, he's so unique. He's so fun to watch. He's such a good guy that he would end up being like a 20, 10 and 8 guy. I mean, that's how good he is.
Wow.
So, but he is, you know, he's the ultimate team player. He's like, hey, you want me off the bench? Fine. I'm off the bench. I'll play with the reserves. My numbers will suffer, and that'll be that. So when he gets put in the starting lineup, and now instead of playing, you know, with Matt Bonner and guys like that, he's playing with Tim Duncan and Tony Parker, and there's not two guys or three guys, you know, with an eyeball on him. He's going to be able to freelance like he did. I mean, you saw that.
Yeah.
Anybody that watched yesterday, if there was one guy guarding him, if it was Norris Cole, I mean, he just chewed him up. And I think that's kind of what Pops was probably thinking is, look, I'm not going to play my reserves as much, which means I don't need to worry about Manu anchoring that bench unit. I'll just throw him in with the starters. I'll play him 40 minutes. And I'll get more out of him, and a lot of it, too, not to get too boring, even though I have been a little technical here. Defensively, the two bigs wasn't working in game four. You know, basically, Eric Spoelstra, the head coach of the Heat, went small, which means, you know, his guy that's 220 pounds is playing center. And next thing you know, there's, you know, Tiago Splitter, the Spurs center, is guarding Dwayne Wade. And you're like, what the hell is going on? And he was getting eaten up, you know, and that's why Wade had that huge game in game four.
Wow, very impressive. Hey, we want to talk about the NHL, but just real quick, if you could just give me 15 seconds on all the talk this weekend about Doc Rivers coming to the Clippers. Is there anything to that?
Yeah, oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they had conversations all weekend. And
didn't he just sign a huge multi-million dollar deal not that long ago, though, to stay with Boston?
Year, $35 million deal. And, you know, it's one of the – Doc's kind of a weird dude that way. You know, he does. It's not Larry Brown-esque where he wants to leave after 8 months and a job, but he's just kind of done this with the Celtics a couple times now. And
but
now
he's kind of given up because he feels like they're too old now to be a contender, and he wants
exactly
to win again,
right?
Right?
Yeah, he. You know, they're going to rebuild. You know, Kevin Garnett was thinking about retiring. They were going to trade Paul Pierce, all that sort of stuff. So
I saw Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce coming to the Clippers over the weekend.
They waive them. So for people that don't know, here's the deal. You would basically trade for Doc Rivers. So you trade they want DeAndre Jordan and Eric Bledsoe in return. The Clippers get Kevin Garnett and Doc Rivers as their head coach. And that would be ridiculous.
Then you have Kevin Garnett. Wow, that would be ridiculous.
It would be ridiculous.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about hockey just briefly. When you were a teenager, Money, you wrote a handwritten letter to the Chicago Blackhawks saying that you would never root for them again.
You know, could say I was a teenager. I was like 20 at the time.
Okay. Is that still in effect?
Yes. Yes, it is. Well, you know it certainly was when they played the Kings. I mean, I mean, there was no questioning what my emotions were telling me.
How about now, though? They're playing the Bruins. Who are you rooting for now?
You know, it's weird. It's almost like one of those things where you just want good games, you know. But at the same time, my parents and my brothers, they're all huge Blackhawk fans. I mean, we used to go to the games a lot. So for them, I mean, I'd feel pretty bad wanting to see them suffer by not having the Blackhawks win the Cup. But for me, it's just watching really good games, and that's what this finals is.
Well, could you ask for two better, more evenly matched teams than these two? I mean, two games, two overtimes, it's insane.
Yeah, and plus I kind of feel bad because in that letter I said, not only did I say you need to sell the team, but I said until you die or sell the team. And the guy ended up dying. So,
did he? Well,
Yeah, he died like 3-4 years ago.
Well, that clears the way then.
I guess so, but I just felt really bad that I wrote that.
This one's too close to call, though, right?
Yeah, it's Tuukka Rask, the goalie for the Bruins. It's ridiculous. I mean, he's ridiculous. He's like Jonathan Quick-esque. I mean, that's like the saves he makes, you just can't fathom that he stopped that puck.
Yeah.
So it is close. I think the Bruins are probably still the better team. I think they were the better team in game one. So just kind of knowing that the Blackhawks got out with that one and the Bruins won game two, I'd probably lean toward the Bees.
Well, Kevin's sure going to be sad here in about a week when basketball and hockey are both over.
And, basketball and hockey are gone, and then all there is baseball.
Well, you have, football training camps?
Yeah.
And you got
what's that?
You got that to be excited about. You got some friendlies. Right. You got the international soccer crews coming through the United States here, right?
No, don't think I'm not on top of that.
There we go.
All right.
All right, Matt Money Smith. Hey, tell a belated happy birthday to Petros, too, and we'll look for you guys this afternoon on Fox Sports Radio. Thanks for the time, as always. We appreciate
it. All right, guys.
So who all went to the party at Psycho Mike's house over the weekend?
I did.
Woo! I could not make it.
Almost,
Muggs did.
I couldn't either, but
I saw Muggs.
Great.
I don't know. What time the party started? Like 8? I saw Muggs at about, I think it was about 10, and man, Wow.
What a shock, huh?
He had a lot of drinks.
Really? Huh. That's surprising.
And he said, I'm already drunk.
Really? Wow.
I was like, really? Wow. How about that?
Out of character for beer mug.
I've never seen him like that.
It was disgusting drunk.
So weird.
I wonder if he ate a lot. You think he ate a lot of the party? Funny you should ask, Ralph.
I saw a Vine that his girlfriend posted of Muggs laying down with his eyes closed, completely smashed, laying down, eyes closed, and somebody was feeding him pizza.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh my God.
When my wife and I got pizza, then my wife's like, I'm not that hungry. And Muggs is like, I'll finish it.
You have any old crust to fill in the floor?
While he had a full pizza in his hand. Not a slice, but a full pizza. He was like, I'll finish it. They took most of hers.
Dude, this is a new level for the Muggs. This is a mess.
Are you familiar with the term ovine beer mug? You know what that means?
No.
It means pig-like. It means having a pig-like quality.
Is that what I remind you of?
You're just a foul
human being. Well, I think that is the
tie-in,
yes.
Just a foul human being.
It looked like quite a party to be missed, though, I'll tell you that.
It was fun.
But, and then I saw, well, we don't have time here, but...
I have to tweet out a picture I took of one of his housewarming gifts that he was lining them up on the TV, and it was just porn, straight porn. People were bringing over for the housewarming.
That's nice.
Good times.
Yeah. All right, Monday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is here. Time for another look at the showbiz beat here on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on, Ralph?
Well, I just give and I give and I give and I keep giving, and then I give some more than I give.
And then when people think you're done,
surprise, more giving.
That's what happens.
That's what's happening today. I've got more passes to see another summertime blockbuster movie that you can't wait to see. It is the...
Hi, this is David Hasselhoff.
Hey, Dave.
Listen, I wanted to figure out how to get tickets if I get down there.
You don't even know what you're calling in for, Dave. Are you done speaking
now? Where can I get them? I mean,
I'm
like,
about to give them away.
Where
now.
Is there...
No, I'm going to give a phone.
Can I come to your radio station tonight and pick up something?
No,
or can I just
works,
go down
Dave.
There? Because...
I'm going to announce a phone number, and then people will call in, and then they will, like...
Do you think there's rooms at the Marriott available?
It's a movie, Dave. You don't need to stay overnight.
But what if he wants to?
God damn, Hasselhoff. I've got four packs of passes. Not my usual twosomes. This is a four-pack of passes. You and three friends will get to attend...
How far is the festival from... the Marriott, Palm Desert, you know?
It's far away, because this is happening at the Gibson Amphitheater. Okay? It is the...
And when do the stuff really get going? In the afternoon?
And it's Saturday, June the 22nd, at the Gibson Amphitheater. It is the red carpet world premiere of Despicable Me 2!
Yay!
All right.
Very successful, very entertaining animated film starring the voices of Steve Carell, Ken Jeong, Kristen Wiig, all star in this. Gru returns. You remember Steve Carell's character from the first. He is recruited by the Anti-Villain League to help deal with an even more powerful super criminal than himself. Looks wildly entertaining. I loved the first one. Despicable Me 2. Saturday, June the 22nd, the Gibson Amphitheater, a four-pack of passes. You and three friends get to go to the world premiere. First two callers right now at 1-800-520-1067 will get the passes. And don't feel too bad if you don't win, because you'll get to see Despicable Me 2 in theaters everywhere on Wednesday, July the 3rd. It's the big July 4th blockbuster weekend. Speaking of blockbusters, Man of Steel, as expected, did very well at the weekend box office. $113 million made it number one this weekend.
Guess that's all right.
Also, oddly enough, 113 million citizens of Metropolis were murdered by the Man of Steel in that movie. So you'll enjoy it if you go see it, if you like human death on a grand scale caused by somebody who's supposed to be the hero. This is the end. Number two at the box office, $20.5 million for that comedy. Now You See Me is third, Fast and Furious six. The Purge was fifth. The Internship, Epic, Star Trek Into Darkness, After Earth, and Iron Man 3 rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Congratulations to porn star Kim Kardashian and Kanye West. She welcomed a baby girl Saturday at the Cedars-Sinai Medical Center. No word yet on the name of the baby, but people are speculating it'll be a K name, in keeping with the tradition of the Kardashian clan to name their kids with a K. Maybe Kanye will step in there, but I doubt it, because Kanye starts with a K, so it's perfect all the way around.
Not his last name.
Call her Kimye. Just have it done. Just have it done with.
Might as well.
I heard a rumor that they're thinking of calling her North.
North?
Yeah.
Is that a joke?
No.
Really?
That's one of the rumored names. What a random name is that?
North.
Are they suggesting the kid would be named Northwest somehow?
Maybe.
That just sounds like a bad joke.
Because we don't know what the kid's last name's going to be yet.
That's true. Because they're not married, you know.
Right.
Huh, those crazy kids. Boy, it's just Kim Kardashian's come full circle. Both that particular region of her body has caused her fame, and now once again it's in the news with what has issued forth from going in to coming out. She's a looper. She's completed her loop. Congratulations to you, Kim. Speaking of talentless people who make a living with their vaginas, Farrah Abraham.
Farrah Abramson?
Sure. In a feud with Charlie Sheen, apparently. She did a bit of flirting with Charlie Sheen, and he wasn't too pleased that their text messages went public. So he went on the attack via TMZ.com and other sites, congratulating her, amongst other things, on surviving your lobotomy, he said of her.
Oh, she's going to say he's ugly now.
No, that's Amanda Bynes.
Oh, that's Amanda Bynes.
That's her
response.
Sorry,
I'm getting my...
Farrah no doubt will tweet how she's trying to be a role model, and she's and everyone who's haters is just jealous of the fact that she's...
I'm sure.
Something.
Has such a great influence.
Charlie also suggested, you send my number to Middle Earth, follow it into said abyss, and slam the door behind you regarding any further contact from the backdoor teen mom. Well, Charlie's rejecting a porn star. You know she's a pig.
Yeah.
Rachel Yucatel's in the news. Former mistress of Tiger Woods is returning to her old career as a nightclub hostess. Again, she has completed her loop. She started out being a nightclub hostess, then she was banging celebrities, and then she became high profile for a second. She was on television and layouts and photo shoots. Then she went to school to become a private investigator, which was my favorite part of the story.
Forgot that part.
Yucatel PI. That didn't pan out for her. And now she is once again providing bottle service. And by bottle service, I mean, you know, serving people bottles of alcohol.
Right.
That's what I mean. Boy, it's just a talentless tramp parade this morning. Patricia Krenzel, you remember her, the tanning mom.
Sure. Oh, yeah. Sure.
Back in the news. She apparently was S-faced at the airport at Minneapolis-St. Paul, and she went off on some counter agents for the Delta ticketing counter. Agents apparently reported an intoxicated woman at the desk screaming at employees, and she was sent to dry out for 30 hours in a temporary detox facility.
Wow. It's Chad Mom.
Yeah, hi,
bitch.
Chad Mom, bitch. Rather than send her to jail, they decided just to let her sober up for 30 hours in a broom closet someplace.
Just lock her in.
That's what temporary detox facility means at the airport in Minneapolis. And she is... She got off easy. They could have easily thrown her in jail, but they said just let her sleep it off, I guess. Good stuff. Congratulations to Ozzy Osbourne. Black Sabbath's reunion album, 13, is the number one album in his home country of England this week. The UK's number one album, Black Sabbath, top of the charts. It's the first time in about 43 years that Sabbath has been in the top
spot. Wow.
So... not too bad. They're 43 years to come back with a number one album for those guys. Today's celebrity birthdays. Venus Williams is 33 years old today. Actor and comedian from SNL. Will Forte is 43. Jason Patrick, the actor, is 47 years old. Greg Kinnear turns 50. Thomas Hayden Church is 52. Bobby Farrelly of the directing Farrelly Brothers is 55. Comedian Joe Piscopo celebrates his 62nd birthday. And Barry Manilow.
There it is.
Yeah!
No.
There what is?
There
no.
It is.
No.
The reason we celebrate
again,
today.
You can't use the kids for your own enjoyment.
Your own
if it
evil
doesn't,
purposes.
It doesn't reflect.
What's better than Barry Manilow?
Everything?
No. No.
It's good stuff.
Scientists have proven that listening to Barry Manilow can give you cavities. Did you know that?
That's true.
Yeah, it's true.
That's science.
You got to brush and floss after you listen to a Barry Manilow album. Be careful, kids. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz. Just announced this morning on the world-famous K-Rock is Epicenter 5. It's going to be at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater on Saturday, September the 21st. Great lineup again this year. I don't know how they do it, but The Offspring, Bad Religion, Pennywise, A Day to Remember, Pierce the Veil, so much more. You can get all the information about buying your tickets at krock.com, and we'll have some you can win all this week on The Kevin and Bean Show, including in about 5 minutes from right now.
Ralph did a story last week about Sesame Street and how it has debuted an online video this week to help kids age 3 to 8 cope with parental incarceration.
Oh, man.
That's rough. So your parents went to jail. Let us help you here at Sesame Street.
Let's sing a good song about it.
Now, I hadn't, this is not an issue that really applies to my life. I hadn't really thought about this. But I can see how if your little friends have their parents around and you don't because your mom or dad is in jail, I can see how that might be a source of embarrassment for you. It might be something you could be teased about. It makes sense that you would want to help teach kids how to handle questions about that.
It
right?
does, but are there that many?
Well, it's funny you should ask, Kevin, because according to this article, 2.7 million children right now are growing up with a parent in prison. When you think about how many people are in jail, a lot of those people have kids. So sure, yes, there are a lot.
Sesame Street. How to handle it when your parents get put in the big house. What a bizarre, bizarre thing that must be. And we did find audio from it. We found the video as well.
Oh, great. I'd die to know how they handle this with the kids.
Here's Sesame Street. How to handle it when your parent goes to jail.
Hi-ho, Kermit the Frog here. And today we're talking about what happens when your mom and dad go to prison. Mm-hmm, yeah. So today's episode is brought to you by the letter C, as in cell block. Yay! It turns out when mommy or daddy break a rule, they have to go to prison. Mm-hmm. And so odds are your mommy and daddy are bad people.
Elmo don't like prison. Sometimes when people do bad things, they also get sued by boys who shouldn't be on the internet looking for sex anyway.
Uh-huh. That's right, Elmo. And sometimes when you're in prison, you have to do things you wouldn't ordinarily do.
Oh, no.
Like, toss salad.
Cookie Monster no like salad. Cookie Monster like cookie. Yum, nom, 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 nom.
Yeah, well, I guess you could, get your cookies off, too, in prison. Mm-hmm. But don't worry, boys and girls, because Mommy and Daddy will sue me back to you. In 10 to 20 years. So today's episode is brought to you by the number 10, or the, number 20, depending on, what they were charged with.
10 years! 1! 2!
Right.
3!
We really don't have time for it, but, maybe with good behavior, you'll see them in like 15 years. That's, assuming they don't get, shanked outside in the exercise yard. Or, something bad happens in the shower.
Elmo likes showers.
You're creeping me out, Elmo.
So there you go. It'll help you.
That's nice.
Very useful for the kids.
Nice work.
Man who has been behind the producing console probably for as many songs on K-Rock as anybody in the world, Steve Lillywhite, joins us for the full hour coming up at 8 o'clock this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. It is a return visit for Mr. Lillywhite. He had so many great stories last time that we couldn't wait to get him back in here again, so that is coming up. Plus, don't forget, more chances for you to win your tickets for Epicenter, the 5th annual Epicenter, just announced this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Congratulations to Mike Cotter of Chino. He just won the first pair.
All right, let's talk to a K-Rock listener about an event that happened to her, which she was not necessarily overly thrilled about. We're going to call her Tiffany. Hi, Tiffany.
Hello, Kevin and Bean.
How are you?
Hi, Tiffany. Good morning.
Good morning.
We need you to call every day.
Take it easy.
So you sent us a note about, I guess, what you thought was a breach of etiquette the other day, and you wanted our opinion on it. What happened?
Well, I went out for a night of getting a Thai massage I thought would be a relaxing night. I was very excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I show up to this place, and they put me in a room where it's divided by curtains. So there's someone sleeping next to me getting a massage.
Okay.
This man is snoring, and he's so loud, and I'm like, gosh, is he ever going to shut up? So finally, he stopped snoring, and I'm like, okay, great, he woke up. But then he started making other noises.
Oh,
and really?
Wait, did you know you were at that type of place?
No, this is like a legit place. I wasn't in like a weird area, so I'm like, okay, I'm in denial here, because I'm like, this isn't really happening. So it takes a couple minutes of denial, and then I'm like, this is really
freaking
weird.
This is happening.
This is happening.
Oh.
Tiffany, before you go on, for me and for maybe the other people listening who are uninitiated to the massage, what is the Thai massage? Like, what is that supposed to be? What are you expecting when you go there?
Oh, you know, it's just like, you know, they pull you, they stretch you, and it's supposed to be not only, it's not always supposed to be relaxing. It's supposed to kind of like, you know, it's pressure points and all that kind of stuff.
But I thought that that was a type of massage that got done in a real place. But if it's called Thai massage, I think you walked into that situation, and that clearly is what goes on.
Well, I have to let this man know that this is weird and that I'm hearing this. So I said out loud, I said, this is really weird. I need to leave. And as soon as I said that, he became really quiet next door. And then I heard him tell his masseuse, tell her I'll pay for her massage.
And, oh, really?
Yeah, and that was when I knew that this was really happening, and he also probably wanted me to leave. It was... I'm like, isn't this illegal? Like, shouldn't they be more discreet about this?
Well, God forbid people do illegal things, but I would think they would be more. I would think they would be more discreet.
But yeah. I've been to Thai massage before, and they're all that way. They like hang like sheets or towels or something.
That's
between.
All. There's not even different rooms.
No,
it's all just
it's
towels.
It's very low rent, but I've never had per experience.
But you want it?
No, I'm
so,
good.
So Tiffany, so could you have asked for a happy ending also if you wanted one?
Or could you?
I
have
don't
the,
know.
Is that the complaint here that you didn't think of it? You're just angry. That guy had more fun than you did.
Oh, he for sure did. He had a great time. He was really enjoying himself.
It sounds like it. So what did you say to either your masseuse or to the people who were running the place when you left? Did you basically express some displeasure?
It was very awkward. I just they just looked at me. They had blank stares on their face, and they said, oh, we're so sorry. And I said, I just didn't know what to tell them. I'm like, okay, well, good night.
And then the guy said, tell her I'll pay for her next five if she helps.
So has this place been ruined for you? Will you not go back now?
I don't think I'll go back. And I actually had found it through Yelp because it had such great reviews. But maybe this is why I have great reviews.
Fantastic reviews.
I gave it a great review, I'll tell you that.
All from dudes?
So that's interesting. Wow. So, yeah, I agree with everybody. I think I'm surprised that it's so out in the open like that. You'd think that something that they know that they could get arrested for would be a little bit more discreet. But I also think it should be more discreet, but that it shouldn't be illegal. That's where I come down.
Okay. Everyone's entitled to their opinion.
No, but if it is legal, then it should be marked that way so that Tiffany doesn't walk in.
Exactly. No, I agree.
She's not looking forward to.
Yeah, look, I don't blame you at all. I don't blame you at all for being uncomfortable. Look, who wants to be in the room with somebody else while that's going on? Nobody, I don't think.
And it wasn't just like in the room. He was a curtain away from me. It was like right next to me. And
yeah.
So it was just really awkward.
What are you, uptight?
All right, Tiffany, we thank you so much for listening and for writing. We're going to talk to our listeners about their massage parlor surprises right now, but we'll let you go, okay? Thanks a lot.
All right, have a great day.
Thank you. Bye now.
See you later.
All right, massage surprises.
I don't know anything about massages. I don't like people to touch me, as you guys know. I hate massages.
Yeah.
Hate them.
Yeah.
But apparently it's a thing that people do and like, right?
Yeah, of course. And for the most part, I started getting them when I hurt my back in a car accident. And for the most part, that doesn't go on, especially if you go to any reputable place.
Yeah.
No matter how much you ask, Kevin, it doesn't go on.
I have asked. I've thrown money or I made it rain. This doesn't happen.
All right. So what are we looking for?
Can we get her back on the phone and find the address of that place?
What are we looking for phone calls? We're looking for people who went in expecting one thing and got another thing. Like, in other words, it could be maybe people who tried to give you a happy ending and you didn't want one. Right.
Right? That's not what you were necessarily there for or weren't comfortable with.
Or you went someplace and you wanted a happy ending and you paid for it and yet you still didn't get one. Maybe that's the other massage surprise that can be happening, right?
Whatever surprise you had when you lay down on the bed, that's what we're looking for. At 1-800-520-1067. You could be uptight like Tiffany or, you know.
I just want to throw it out there. I'm just thinking of other ways you could be surprised. Perhaps the person that was giving you a massage, you had a particular sex that you prefer, and maybe that's not what you ended up getting, but you didn't know that until it was too late. Maybe that could be the case.
That could happen, sure. All right, we'll take your calls in just a minute. 1-800-520-1067.
I haven't looked very far down on the Epicenter lineup, but is Massage Surprise playing? Do we know yet?
Are they on the list? They've been announced yet.
We are taking your calls. Listener Tiffany had an unusual experience at a Thai massage place. She was just on the line with us talking about how the guy behind the next curtain was getting a happy ending. She was very uncomfortable with that, and we thought it might be interesting to hear your bad surprise stories at massage parlors. For instance, this one from Facebook, John writes in, I went to a massage parlor looking for a happy ending. I finally found a place. I picked out a cute girl, and during the massage, she asked if I wanted a happy ending. I said yes. She left the room for a moment and came back with the oldest lady they had there to finish my massage.
not maybe what he was looking for.
What? All right. Let's go to Irene. She gets us going here on line one on the Kevin DeBean Show. We're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Hi, Irene.
Hi. How are you?
Good. Massage surprises. What happened?
I actually got a gift card from my grandma for a massage. Went with my ex-husband. They put me in the way back room for an hour. Lady came back. I started talking to her. As I'm walking back out, I see a room with nothing but shower stalls.
Right.
And massage tables. My ex-husband comes out and says, wow, that was awesome. They offered me a table shower, naked. They wanted to look at all my tattoos. And I was like, hey, how come I didn't get offered that? I got put in a closet.
So you weren't mad that the husband got the naked massage, but you wanted one.
Well, at least offer.
I'm with you. It seems rude.
Wow, that is bizarre that you guys got such different treatment. All right, thanks very much for the call. Appreciate that. Let's try Elizabeth. She's on line two, and she's up next on the Kevin DeBean Show. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi, I'm trying to get you off my speakerphone. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, we can.
Yeah.
All right, so I'll tell you quickly because I have to go to work. I was getting a massage. When you get a massage, first of all, the guy was hot, so that helps. But you know how you're laying down and your hands are up, face palms facing up?
Palms up, yes.
Yes, and he was wearing these loose pants, and at certain parts, his manly parts would just kind of be resting in my hands.
And then I'm like, what? No. Oh, no.
In your palms.
Yes. And at first, I thought, can that really be what I think it is? But it happened a few times, and I felt like if I would have just grabbed them, it could have been. It was just so close. And it wasn't just me. It happened to my little sister and my friend.
Oh, my God.
So he was doing it on purpose. He was taking advantage of your open palms.
At first, I thought, oh, he just doesn't realize. But come on.
Oh, yeah. Come on. Exactly.
Trust me. Every guy realizes.
Yeah.
He knows where his junk is. All right. Thank you very much for the call. Appreciate that. Let's try Peggy. Peggy's up next. She's on line four here on the Kevin DeBean Show. Hi, Peggy. Thank you for calling. What happened?
So I was at a pretty reputable place, one of those chain places, so I wasn't too concerned
right.
when there was only male masseuses left. And unfortunately, like the last caller, the ones at these places aren't very hot.
They're
very odd and kind of creepy. But so I went along with it anyway. And as I'm going through the massage, about at least halfway through, he very obviously was aroused, for lack of better words.
That's a good word.
Was he wearing loose clothing like the last guy?
No, he was not. He right. luckily was wearing pants, but it was pretty apparent, and I didn't want to make him feel uncomfortable because he's a dude, and that, you know, I'm sure happens.
Right.
But yeah, we just kind of continued on like nothing happened, and it was probably the most uncomfortable, least relaxing massage I've ever had.
That's bizarre.
I mean, that's the elephant in the room is neither, both of you are aware of his erection. Neither one of you want to talk about it.
Exactly.
Well, or he does and you don't.
That's awesome. Thank you very much for the call, Peggy. Appreciate that. Also back to Facebook. Listen to this. This guy had an allergic reaction to one of the oils that they put on him and his lips blew up. He said, I thought it was the blood rushing to my mouth because of being face down for an hour in that donut hole, but it was clear 4 hours later that I had an allergic reaction. When I smiled, you couldn't even see my teeth. It was terrible. I haven't been back since. That's a bad surprise. All right, let's try JJ. JJ's on line six, please. Next on the Kevin DeBean Show. Hi, JJ. Thanks a lot for calling. What happened?
I was in Vegas just kind of hanging out, and my buddy wanted to get a massage. And so I figured I'd go in and wait while he did it because I had no money.
Right.
Paid for me to go get a massage, and I spent the whole time, because this girl was just gorgeous, trying not to lift the towel and not expecting that anything was going
to
happen. And
you mean trying not to lift the towel without your hands?
Correct.
Okay, go ahead.
And the whole time.
That's right.
And, yeah, he had paid for my happy ending. So she just kind of went at the, after a whole hour of, like, not going for it, she was apparently totally fine.
So you were trying so hard because it was embarrassing.
Yeah.
And then that she was going to do that anyway.
Yeah.
The whole, Love it.
Yeah, and then it, she went for it, and then it completes right.
Your friend is awesome, by
Your friend
way.
Is awesome. That's true.
You owe him dinner cheap. Every night.
It's not cheap. Thank you, JJ.
All right, one more. How about Dan?
Let's go to Dan. Hi, Dan.
Hey, Kevin and Bean.
What happened?
So I was in Thailand at the end of a 2-week mission trip with my church, and we were in Bangkok, and I decided to get a massage with my pastor. And we're hanging.
So you better and better. So you you're and in your Bangkok.
You and your pastor are in Bangkok, and you go to get massages.
Probably not the best idea.
No, great so far.
So we're laying there. And the ladies had given us something to drink, some sort of hot drink, and we weren't sure if we should drink it or not, but we did. And so we're going there and getting a massage, everything's going fine, and then all of a sudden, just like one of the last callers said, the lady grabbed my manly parts.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't quite know what to do, so I thought I should defer to my spiritual mentor. So I kind of freaked out, and I said, Bob, what do? I leaned over, and he's completely asleep, so I'm just laying there, and this lady's just got a handful of me. And so anyway,
don't you just act like you're praying and just say, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God.
I think there might have been that, yeah. So, anyway, I shook my head, said no thank you, and that was it. She went back to, rubbing my back or my legs or whatever. And
look, there's no way you could have relaxed enough to enjoy that with your pastor 2 feet away,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. You went back later, yeah. Though, right?
That's what you do is you go, you ditch him and come back later, right?
And then you realize she's a dude and all hell breaks loose.
Oh, God, okay.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:53.
They send us barbecue?
That's fantastic.
Oh, I'll go over there.
I just ate, but I'm going to eat again.
We're losing mugs, you guys. He's going to be dead before
he's going to be dead mugs. Before he's 30.
We have the opposite problem.
We're not going to have to fire him. He's going to die.
All right, well, get on with it.
Only the good die young.
Steve Lillywhite may have produced that song for all I know. Actually, that one was Phil Ramone. But Steve Lillywhite has done almost everything else.
I guess
else.
You do know then, don't you?
He'll be joining us here in the studio talking about awesome stuff right after the top of the hour. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Monday.
Speaking of awesome stuff, if I may be so immodest, Hollywood Babylon's coming back to town. We are babbling back to the Improv on Melrose this Friday night at 10 p.m. We took a couple weeks off. Kevin had to go sell a movie. I had to go work in a little movie. And now we're back Friday night at 10 and also next Friday night at 10. Go to improv.com to get your tickets, but we'd love to have you come out because we got a lot of stuff to talk about, a lot of S talk to get out of the way about Amanda Bynes and Kim Kardashian's new baby and Man of Steel. We already got a review online for that one, and people are no need to tweet me and correct my opinion, by the way.
Oh, there's a lot of that going on.
Feel free.
That is funny.
I can only block you so quickly.
That is funny when somebody corrects your opinion.
I know. No, you don't feel that way about the movie. Oh, you're right. I'm sorry. I didn't realize that.
I thought I did.
How silly of me.
There must be something about this film that is really upsetting people, because Richard Roper is going through the exact same thing. He gave it a very poor review as well, Ralph.
Yeah.
And people are just blasting him for that.
They
take ownership of it or something.
Are very much in love with it, and those of us who don't care for it as much seem to be the recipient of a lot of hatred. But you don't understand that if I didn't enjoy the film as much as you did, it doesn't detract from your enjoyment of the film at all.
Yes, it does. You have to like it as much as me.
My opinion doesn't encroach upon your experience in the theater. I'm glad you enjoyed yourself. I want you to enjoy yourself. I wish I had enjoyed myself more. Trust me. I wanted to enjoy it.
Nobody was more excited on Friday morning.
Exactly. So just don't feel obligated to correct my opinion in some way. It's madness.
Fire beer mug.
And fire beer mug, please, by all means. Since we're talking about Man of Steel, or MOS, as they're calling it.
Is that what they call it?
That's what they're calling
mm-hmm.
it.
Not POS?
some of us are. Mm. Did very well in its debut, $113 million this weekend. Made it number one at the box office. If you factor in the special Thursday night showings, it adds up to about $196 million worldwide.
I'm impressed.
Just that'd be all right.
Very impressive indeed. This Is the End was number two at the box office, $20.5 million.
Kevin, you saw that, right?
I did. I thought it was funny.
This Is the End.
Nope, we don't need that song.
Beautiful friend.
Don't need that song. All the celebrities that made cameos and stuff, it was funny. There was a lot of...
Funny or hilarious?
funny. I would say it's a average movie with some real funny points.
I think that's a fair assessment.
You laugh all the way through, but it's not a masterpiece.
Was your favorite part, as it was for me, the opening party? That sequence was more entertaining for me than almost anything else.
It was pretty good, yeah.
It was
pretty spectacular. That was pretty spectacular.
Michael Cera in particular. Michael Cera was very entertaining.
It's crazy. Yeah. He's way stepping out of what he normally does.
Does cocaine smell funny to you?
Blows it in his face.
Yeah.
It was great.
Now You See Me was third. Fast and Furious 6 was fourth. And The Purge rounded out the top five. Then The Internship, Epic, Star Trek Into Darkness, After Earth, and Iron Man 3 rounding out the top 10. As I mentioned, porn star Kim Kardashian issued something other than her career from her loins on this weekend. She and Kanye West welcomed a baby girl into the world at Cedars.
Hurry up with my damn croissants!
That was Kanye talking to the nurses there during the birth. They were at Cedars-Sinai, and apparently Kim felt a little off, so they went right to the hospital, and sure enough, a few hours later, her daughter was born. Kris Jenner sent out a happy Father's Day tweet to Kanye West. See what she did there?
Yeah.
She was right on top of it.
Because you can't call him.
Chloe revealed via Twitter, I can't even begin to describe the miracle that is now part of our family. Yeah, your sister had a baby. People do it every day, Chloe. Yeah, she's not the hybrid child that you were, Chloe.
We know
product,
the father in this
of
case.
Genetic testing somewhere in a Wookiee lab, but apparently everyone's doing well and resting, so that's good news. Arnold Schwarzenegger spoke to the fan site thearnoldfans.com last week to further clarify his comments that he will once again be the Terminator when Terminator 5 begins shooting in January. He also confirmed that he's reading the script currently for Triplets, the previously announced sequel to his 1988 buddy comedy with Danny DeVito, Twins.
Come on.
And he will also be reprising his role as Conan the Barbarian in the upcoming Conan the Octogenarian. So it's just everything's on repeat for Arnold in his career. It's just everything's revisited.
It's just so weird because they've already gone on with a new Terminator. They've already gone on with a new Conan the Barbarian. Yeah. Like, these roles have already been recast and he's been replaced.
But those films didn't perform nearly as well as the originals with him in it. So I guess they're going back to the well. On TV, it's a mini Seinfeld and Cheers reunion on the new Kirstie Alley show. It's going to be on TV Land. It's called Kirstie. George Wendt is going to be one of the guest stars. He, of course, co-starred with Kirstie on Cheers. Rhea Perlman is a recurring character on that show. And then one episode is going to have Jason Alexander and Michael Richards in it as well. So, a lot of people getting work from Kirstie Alley show. It's like the Love Boat of the new century. People finding a way to make a buck.
Rob, since you mentioned Seinfeld, I wanted to mention again that the Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee web series that Jerry did that we enjoyed so much.
Just came back
over the weekend. The first new episode is up with Sarah Silverman. It's very funny. People should check that out if they like those people.
And from Seinfeld to Scientology. How do you like that?
Good. Strong.
London Sun tabloid was forced to apologize to the Church of Scientology over the weekend for reporting that UFOs were seen flying over the British Scientology headquarters. That's kind of funny.
That is kind of funny.
Scientology said, nuh-uh. And so, you better apologize or...
Dot, dot, dot.
Dot, dot, dot.
Yeah.
And so they did apologize, but perhaps not in the way Scientology was hoping. Here was the Scientology. Here was the apology, rather, that the London Sun issued. Following a letter from lawyers of the church, we apologize to any alien life forms for linking them to Scientology. They apologize to the aliens. Probably not what they were looking for.
I know that it's about you go into a desert and there's a ship somewhere and then you sign a huge check and if you don't, they'll kill you.
That's pretty much it.
Fire beer mug.
What? How did that... What? I agree, but what?
All roads end to that. Let me try that again. All roads end with that.
And into that.
Back to you.
You ever notice when you talk about beer mug and you make fun of how slovenly he is and what a mess he's like? He's just laughing over in the corner as if somehow enjoyable to him that he's a waste of protoplasm.
I'll eat everyone's pizza.
Yeah, I'll drink it all too. What are you drinking?
Somebody else feed me. I'm passed out. I'm gonna lay down with my eyes closed and let somebody put pizza in my mouth.
It's Psycho Mike's party.
That's not pizza. Today's celebrity birthdays: Venus Williams, the tennis star, is 33 years old. Will Forte, Comedian and actor from SNL's 43. Actor Jason Patrick's 47. Greg Kinnear turns 50. Thomas Hayden Church is 52. Bobby Farrelly of the directing Farrelly Brothers is 55. Comedian and another former SNL star, Joe Piscopo, is 62. And singer? Barry Manilow is 70. Even you, Bean, have to admit that a lot of his music does not hold up well. Copacabana is just a cheese fest, right?
Look, it's definitely of the 70s. There's no question about that. I still enjoy it. He's got a catalog of a lot of songs that I still
can
enjoy.
Can you enjoy them by yourself?
Not on Barry's special day, I can't.
Barry's special day. I love him.
I wonder if Steve Lillywhite knows Barry Manilow. I got to ask him.
If you do, I would hate to think what would happen to your microphone.
You know, we've been having technical problems here in the studio, Bean. So. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I say just give Steve Lillywhite the whole show. Just forget it. I don't know why
like
Kevin and Bean are even
choice.
Here anymore.
Good morning, boys.
No, we are very excited to welcome back a commander of the Order of the British Empire, our friend Steve Lillywhite, mega super producer of all time,
who
joins us back on the Kevin Bean Show. Steve was here about a month ago and was one of the most fun guests we've ever had. And the reaction that we got from your appearance was mostly, when can he come back, Steve?
So thank you. You're the best. Thank you. Thank you.
So we should say
happy birthday to Barry Manilow.
Thank you very much. Yes, we should.
And wonder how he's celebrating it.
Mm.
With whom he's celebrating.
That's a good question.
He had a sold-out show at the Greek Saturday night.
The Greek, was it?
Steve, you're above that, sir.
No,
come on.
He's not. Nope. Question number one, Steve.
Yes, sir.
You said it when you came in. What's question number one?
Question number one is Barry Manilow. Is he or isn't he?
Yes. Next question.
One of the greatest theater showmen of our generation? Yes, he certainly is.
He certainly is, yes. We love him for that.
Right.
Steve, we're long past outing people, aren't we? Come on.
Oh, come on.
It's his decision.
He's got that
whatever
door
he
so
wants
tightly
do.
Closed.
Is it that tightly closed?
Well, to his... old it's fans open to in certain America. People.
Your Google alert is going to be blowing up again if you don't get off this topic.
Oh, come on now.
I'm sorry. Let's talk about music.
Let's talk about music.
Not Barry Manilow. Let's talk about music.
How dare you? I wanted to start by asking you this because we talked about so many wonderful stories last time you were in about bands that you produced, about Morrissey and U2 and 30 Seconds to Mars. But we didn't get a chance to talk much about the music industry. And I'm really fascinated with this because there has been such a sea change in recent years. How do you sell a record these days, Steve? You and the band work so hard on it. How do you make a dime off of making music anymore?
Well, you don't necessarily make a dime off making off selling music anymore. You know, you make a
it's
dime from all the
that much.
All the ancillary things, mm-hmm. you know, and you know,
it used to be somebody could get rich off of just selling their album without touring.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, I think it's great that it is what it is, as
yeah,
they say.
There's nothing you
can
do about
it. Well, part of the reason I ask is two stories just in the last 2 weeks that are making me ask you this question, Steve. One is Queens of the Stone Age has the number one album in America last week with less than 100,000 units sold, first of all. So they're not getting rich off of that. And then I saw the Kanye album, which is due out tomorrow, which is one of the most anticipated of the year. That leaked over the weekend. And what's that going to do to cutting into sales, too? I mean, it just seems like there are so many ways that you aren't making money off of putting a record out anymore.
No, exactly. And it's affected my lifestyle as well.
Tell us about that. Why?
Well, because people don't buy records. And I always think now the new album with a lot of artists, unless you're Daft Punk or Adele.
Right.
The new album is really seen as a promotional item for the tour.
That's
like,
it.
You know, you might buy the album. You might buy the T-shirt. You'll wear the T-shirt once. You'll listen to the album once. You know, there was a terrible statistic that even when albums were selling so many in the, like, 80s and 90s, the amount of times they were actually played was very little.
Really?
No kidding.
Yeah.
But that's because
less than on average 2 times.
Do you think that has something to do with the fact that they used to just pad? I mean, they used to put a couple of hits on and then they just put on crap.
Well, other people did. I always thought I used to try and make, you know, I used to have deep cuts.
Right.
Down to number 11. Although I would always put my least favorite song, the penultimate song on an album. Like, right. The second to last cut, you know, you go, oh, good, I want to hide something. You don't want the last song to be the worst.
I see. Okay.
You don't want the last song to be the worst
so
one.
So if there's 11 songs, you would always put the weakest at 10.
Weakest at 10,
right.
Yeah.
Now, would you tell the band you were working with that that's what you were doing with the sequencing?
Absolutely not.
But I wonder about this, Steve, because I think about how much time I have to spend with the music I love. And I have been a record collector and a guy who buys music, you know, since I was a little kid. And I'm obsessed with it and I love it. And there's never enough time to listen to everything. But I think back in the day, it seemed like you had access to a lot fewer albums. So you listened to them more. It wasn't uncommon to have a record that you played every day for 3 months back in, you know, back in the 80s, for instance. But now you can't keep up because there's another 100 records coming out this week that you need to give some time to. You just don't have time to spend with them anymore.
And you know what? I was talking to someone yesterday about this, and I was waxing so lyrical about to someone about Breaking Bad. I was saying, you know, and when you meet someone who knows something similar to you, you know, you have this communication with them.
Immediately.
Yeah. And you have this bonding with someone. You used to have this with music. It was like, you say, have you heard the new blah, blah album? They go, yes. You go, oh, wow, yeah. And you would have this conversation with them.
Right.
I have that now with people about Arrested Development. Or, you know, oh, have you seen have you binged on the Netflix version?
That's true, yeah.
You know, which I have to say was absolutely great.
That's what I thought too.
So in other words, the album isn't, they're not shared universally. There's no album that everyone is listening to anymore like there used to be.
Well, other than Daft Punk and Adele.
And Adele, those are the two.
You know, those are pretty much the two that are water cooler records.
Right.
At the moment, you know. And who knows? But for everyone else, and I was talking to Bono the other day.
Nice.
How many people get to say that?
All right. So you were talking to Bono.
You know, working on the new album, and he wants to play me some stuff. Everyone's saying it's sounding really good. So I think I'm going to New York next week, and I'm going to be listening to it. So
fantastic. Why aren't you involved in the producing of it at this point?
Oh, I'm not involved in all of their records. I've been involved in 8 of their albums.
Now, so that's tell me about that. Yeah. So when you two decides to make another record, does it hurt your feelings when they don't call you to come produce?
Well, no, my job since actually the mid-80s has become like, you know, in baseball, the guy, the pitcher who comes in at the end, the closer.
The closer, right.
That's right. That's my job. So basically, they spend a lot of time recording, and then at the end, they call me up and say, Steve, can you come and help reel it in? You know,
isn't that a more expensive way of doing it, though? I mean, because maybe now they got to go back and change a bunch of stuff.
They're always doing that. Bono's always, you know, he's always singing it right at the very end.
Right.
You know, it's as well organized as their business model is.
Right.
Their creative model is extremely. But there's a reason for that. You know, Bono really does believe that great art can only come from great chaos.
Great art can only come from great chaos.
Yeah.
You live your life perfectly, Kevin. Now you just need the art.
Well, not great chaos, just chaos.
Yeah. So, Steve, when you go to New York and you're getting ready to hear brand new U2 music for the first time,
right.
Is it still a thrill for you? Are you still really excited about it? Or is it just to you another day of punching a clock and going in and working?
Oh, come on. No, these are my mates. This was, you know, I remember meeting them for the first time when I was the well-known producer, and they were these...
And they were nobody,
and these
right?
were 18-year-old Irish boys
right.
who couldn't put two words together. You know, they were so shy. You know, 18-year-old kids don't have much of a personality,
right.
let's face it. And
certainly not that swagger that they have now, where they know that they've had a lot of hits, a lot of albums, a lot of tours.
Exactly.
Different feeling altogether.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, they still have that wonderful Irish sense of the ridiculous.
So you're still invested in them to the point where you root for them and you're excited to see what they've come up with as a fan and as a friend.
I think the whole world wants U2 to have a great album because, you know, if you believe in bands and you believe that a band is greater than the sum of its parts...
Which it isn't always, but...
But, you know, it's like a unit that can really... You know, there's no one in U2. I mean, Edge is a great guitar player, but there's something about when they get it right that is just so joyful, you know, and it's not been done by committee. Right. You know, one of my gripes about Bon Jovi is that, you know, it's just records done by committee. And the fact that John Bon Jovi can run his band without Richie Sambora and just treat it like a hired gun just sickens me. Interesting. Go on, tell me what you really think about Bon Jovi, Steve.
Steve Lillywhite is here on the Kevin DeBee Show. He is a 5-time Grammy Award-winning record producer, and we will return with more with our guests right after this on the Kevin DeBee Show on Kim. Steve Lillywhite is in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. You can follow him on Twitter and should at SillyWhite, which is a very silly name, by the way.
My finger slipped. My finger slipped. Well, that's also my email. I'm known as SillyWhite in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm. SillyWhite. The stories that Steve has. By the way, one of our listeners, I know you saw this on Twitter yesterday, Steve. One of our listeners said, you have to write a book. He's ready to pre-order the book. Is there some talk that you might? Are you interested
there
in that?
There is some talk about a book. I'm talking to a friend into a tape recorder.
Okay.
And he's going to put all, you know, as they said, you may have all the right words, but not necessarily in the right order.
Yeah. Right. Please, please do it. And be a guy who doesn't hold back until, you know, like some people do. I mean, write the stories as they happen and tell the truth.
Well, absolutely. And it comes from a unique perspective, you know.
It does. Somebody who's been right in the middle of everything.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
And one of the reasons I love Steve is that his story is not just the hundreds of, you know, records that he's produced, but the people that you have come to know and meet along the way. I mean, just during the commercials here, you're telling us about going out to dinner with Bon Jovi, going out to dinner with Bill Wyman. Now, by the way, the Bill Wyman, bass player for the Rolling Stones, that sounded like an interesting dinner.
That wasn't it. But we were not going to talk about his 14-year-old girlfriend at the time. Oh, did I just mention that?
How old was Bill Wyman at that dinner?
Oh, he's in his 70s now, and this was a Dirty Work album in 1986, 87.
And he was easily in his 40s.
He was in his 40s. Oh, yeah, no, he was in his 40s, late 40s.
14-year-old girlfriend.
Yes, but she only seemed 14 when she spoke.
Did he ended up marrying her, though.
Yeah, her name was Mandy Smith, and in fact, his son ended up marrying her mother.
Okay, wait.
Whoa!
Okay, so Bill,
seriously?
Bill and daughter,
yes,
got married,
yeah,
and then Bill's son and that girl daughter's mom got married.
Yes. We're probably the same age.
What just happened?
Yeah. It was. It was okay. We live in a liberal society in England.
There is no way to draw that tree.
So Bill Wyman's son was...
Dated, certainly.
Bill Wyman's stepfather.
I think
yes. Yes.
It was. I mean, they were certainly dating. It was well known. I don't know if they actually got married. I don't want this to be suddenly
hilarious.
Construed as fact. But no. As I always say, I did produce the worst ever Rolling Stones album.
Congratulations.
Until the next one.
Why was there not more scandal, or was there, and I just don't remember there being some sort of a backlash against Bill Wyman for that?
There was scandal. But, you know, it was maybe in the mid-80s, it was just before the really... No, there was scandal, but
just
not too
didn't
bad.
Take
they
over.
Survived
just,
it because they're the Rolling Stones.
Mm, exactly.
Yeah.
Gotcha. 14.
Yes, she was when they started dating. I think
son
she was
dated her mom, married her mom.
Fantastic. I think married. We can go to the Google on that one. Go to the Wikipedia on that one.
Now, Steve.
Yes, sir.
As I mentioned, last time you were in, we had a chance to talk about a lot of things. Some we did not get to, and one that our emailers asked us to ask you about was the Dave Matthews Band. Now, you've been friends with the guys. You've produced a number of their records, but one didn't get released. What happened with the Steve Lillywhite Sessions?
I think it was actually just called the Lillywhite.
That's
sessions.
Right.
What happened?
That's the first time I remember hearing your name, because I remember listening to the Lillywhite Sessions and thinking that's a better album than the one they put out.
Well, that's what a lot of people said. I actually had people come up to me and say, wow, you've got the same name as the Lillywhite Sessions. Which was
you produced an album for the band, and they pulled it, decided not to release it, got a new producer, and
that's
went
right.
on and made a whole different record.
That's right. Well, the original idea was that the new producer was going to produce the songs that I did. But in fact, Dave then wrote a whole load of new songs very quickly. Someone leaked my album. My album wasn't even finished. That's the thing. I would love to be able to finish it. It was a bunch of rough mixes I did on the last morning. And
why did they decide they didn't want to put that out?
There was some record company guy thought it was a little bit dark. But it's like saying to Bruce Springsteen, we're not releasing Nebraska. You know, right. It was just where Dave was at the time.
Right.
And if you believe in an artist, you let them go through their cycle.
Let me remind people by putting in perspective, this was the period where Dave was writing what I think were some of his best songs, like Hey Bartender was one of them.
Yes,
like Bartender,
Day
Is Done or Gone. What was that one? That was another brilliant. I mean, he had some great songs that ended up being super popular and successful for him that he still does live to this day. But for whatever reason, they didn't think they were commercial at that time.
That's right. Well, you know, I just love a band. I mean, honestly, his biggest songs are not even his singles. There's a song called Two Step Off Crash is huge when they play that live. You know, that was never a single. Typical Situation, you know.
Did that ruin your relationship with him?
No, actually. You know, we were sad. I was sad.
Yeah.
You know, but Dave's not the sort of person to pick up the phone and just chat.
Right.
You know, but then when we came back for the most recent album, Away From the World, it was maybe Men Are Shallow. Who knows? But we just picked up where we were.
Nothing happened.
Yeah, it was a wonderful relationship, and I'm really proud of that album as well. So,
well, the fact that he asked you back means obviously he has faith.
Numerous
in you.
Times, right?
Yeah, and I get the band. You know, I mean, I know what that band should sound like.
Do you
like.
Have to smoke weed while producing them?
Funnily enough, I smoked weed on the first two albums, and then on their third album, which a lot of people think is their most psychedelic album, was the first album I did. I stopped doing everything. You see, I will always say Sgt. Pepper's would have been a lot better album without the drugs. Now, that's a controversial subject.
Certainly.
Talk about it.
We should talk about
it. We should talk about it, but you know, I think Sgt. Pepper's is a little bit wishy-washy. You think from the very beginning, here we are, and let me introduce to you the one and only Billy. And then it just goes off into, you think you're being told a story, but it's not really a story when you listen to that album. It's just a collection of songs that aren't really that connected. Controversial.
Yeah. Let's take a break and come back with Steve, because I do want to talk some more about that, because it's right in the headlines, because Keith Richards just did an interview over the weekend where he credits heroin for some of his greatest creativity. And a lot of people have been wondering what the connection is between drugs and making music.
Oh, we can talk about the great heroin songs.
All right. You are certainly the guy who would know. Our guest is Steve Lillywhite. We return right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show.
All right, we'll talk about that another time. It's the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. We are going to need a third visit,
from
Steve Lillywhite. He's coming back, there's no question. Steve Lillywhite, five-time Grammy Award-winning record producer, in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show, worked on records by U2, The Killers, The Rolling Stones, Dave Matthews, Peter Gabriel, Morrissey. Why do you hate black people, Steve?
I work with Joan Armatrading. Trading.
Okay, one.
There you go.
One. I noticed.
Maybe they hate him.
No, I don't.
I'm surprised
black people
to not
don't
see...
ask me to produce them.
I was going to say, would you have any interest? You talked about a minute ago how you get the Dave Matthews Band. Do you get hip hop? Could you produce a hip hop record?
No, I think that the trouble with music is we're talking the very very small percentages between good and great.
Right.
And I feel very confident in knowing those within my. You know, a very
sort of
wide range of music.
Pretty wide range of rock.
But with hip-hop, I honestly would not know the difference between... You know, I'm just like any punter who says, I don't know much, but I know what I like.
Right,
that's
right.
Not good enough to be a producer. To be a producer, you need to know those small percentages at the top of the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's weird that somebody like you, who's had so much success in one realm, does not believe that you could have it just as well in the other.
It's not just one realm. I mean, I honestly believe in just good and bad. I don't... You know.
Right, but you don't have any confidence that you could do that in hip hop. That's kind of strange.
I don't know. I'm a people person,
right?
And sometimes, you know, I love working with. Yeah, I could work with the Roots. I love that. That for me, that would be something that is exciting.
Mm-hmm. But they come from a rock and roll tradition, though. A band like that
would
be very different
band.
Than working with a Jay-Z or something.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Absolutely, absolutely.
Interesting. I think you're smart to be aware of your blind spots. I think that's very wise of you.
When we left, we were talking about drugs.
We were talking about drugs.
Yes, we were.
Keith Richards did an interview recently with Men's Journal where he talked about how he thinks heroin helped him a great deal artistically. He says that he does not regret doing it. He thinks rehab is for losers, and he thinks that it was good for the creative process. I'm sure you've encountered multiple times in your long career, Mr. Lillywhite, people who have been on one end of the drug spectrum or the other.
Absolutely, and I've seen, you know, there has been good from it. I mean, you look at the great songs... You know, Brown Sugar, one of my favorite songs of all time, Another Girl, Another Planet by The Only Ones. If any, mm-hmm. That's one for everybody.
That's an old K-Rock song, sure.
Yeah. A great song. Golden Brown by The Stranglers is a heroin song. You know, there is good. I don't think there are many good cocaine songs, except She Don't Like, which is an anti-cocaine song. So, the 60s, you know, all those wonderful California songs from the 60s, it was all about weed.
Right.
You know.
Does that help? Just in general. I know there are specifics where
does it help?
There would be exceptions.
I mean, I think putting yourself out of your comfort zone is probably what's important. Now, if your comfort zone is always weed, maybe you'd be better off stopping weed and seeing how that alternate reality works for you.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You may not enjoy it and go back,
right,
but okay.
But, you know, it's difficult. You can't say, you know, I mean, Bono's not a druggie or anything. I mean, and he's really talented.
Right.
You know, but
then you can point to a lot of other people that have used drugs their entire careers and seem to be.
Yes, but you end up being an underachiever.
You do.
I think Bono is one of the world's great overachievers. You know, right. He really is. I've worked, you know, I mean, I work with the Pogues, the guy Shane McGowan, you know, one of the most talented people I've ever worked with. But, you know.
But a miracle that he's still alive.
A miracle he's still alive and he's not writing songs anymore. I mean, I would love him to because he's so talented.
Have you had any circumstances, though, where a session has or a complete project has just broken down because the band was strung out or high and just couldn't work?
Well, I always say my biggest production decision really is to do it in the first place, which is why, you know, the Axl Rose story last time, you know, and I thought, no, I can't do this. And I'm really good at foreseeing the problems before mm-hmm. they happen, just in, you know, and if I do see that sort of mentality, you know, I'd steer clear of it.
Gotcha.
You know,
because it's not predictable.
Well, it can be good, but there's, you know, it can be very creative. Drugs can be creative, but then it can turn against you.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're 18 or 21 years, say you're 21 years old and you're on the, you know, and you're just partying like someone normal.
Right.
It can be great. And you're writing songs and your brain's going fast. But if you're 45 years old and you're a sad bloke smoking crack.
Not so good.
And your teeth are falling out. You know, maybe I won't do your album.
Did you have to stop any album midway because you made the wrong decision going in?
Let me think. No, not really.
Not really.
No. I mean, no one bats 1,000 in that. But I'm pretty good at knowing, you know, where. And I've turned down, as I say, a lot of those. What you would think, well, that would be a great record to do, Steve, for you. But I know what I can do.
Right.
You know, and I know I'm not the brightest bloke in the world. So but you know,
you don't want to diminish it any with drugs?
Well, I like flipping it over. I mean, having done a few rock records now, I'm my next album is this great Latin superstar called Juanes.
Oh, Juanes.
So,
sure.
And I think we're going to be doing some English singing on that record for the first time for him. So that's going to be great.
Let me ask you this, Stephen. I can't believe we're almost already out of time.
Really? We haven't even mentioned...
Just started.
We haven't mentioned a lot of things. Like, exactly. But I want to ask you this question because I am fascinated with how records are made, and I always have been, and I'm fascinated with how things get done in the studio, especially right. The stories that I hear about people who say, oh, that number one song that sold 3 million copies, we wrote that lyric in the studio 10 minutes before we were going to record
it.
Have you seen magic moments like that where you could not believe what greatness got pulled out of an artist's butt at the last second under pressure?
Oh, absolutely. And I think that if I can set the stage for that greatness, that's part of my job as a producer.
What you want to do is set up that situation.
I set up, you know, because I believe that if you put a creative person in a very creative place, they can be bigger than what, you know, because they're bigger when they're on stage because they're not thinking about what they're doing.
Right.
Can you think of an example where somebody wrote a song in front of you, though?
Yeah. I remember back in the day, I worked with a band called Big Country, mm-hmm. and I did mm-hmm. one song with them and gave them this certain sound. And the guitar player went away, Stuart, the singer and the writer, and he wrote the song In a Big Country.
you know, their signature number.
The signature number, in certainly over here, mm-hmm. they sort of one trick pony, one hit wonder over here. But in the rest of the world, they had more than one hit. And I was very proud that from the sound I got them in the studio, he all of a sudden went, oh, now I can, you know,
I get that.
Yeah. I'm going to write this song around the sound that Steve's getting me. And that was a wonderful moment.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, we're out of time, guys.
No.
Can't be already.
Wow.
I know.
We're just starting.
I know. I'm so sad. Part two went by even faster than part one. So, Steve, I guess you're coming back, right?
Oh, it would be my honor, boys.
Part three.
It would be my honor.
You should be following Steve on Twitter at SillyWhite. He always has interesting things to say. And we, as always, appreciate your time. We'll see you again soon, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Finish a lot of that book before you come back.
Oh, right. Right.
Tell you about a brand new heavy metal song about Anderson Cooper coming up right after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Plus, if you missed the Miss Utah fail on the Miss USA pageant, you've got to hear that tape. That's on the way in the next half hour as well. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Monday. Good morning, Ralph.
She's hot, though, that Utah.
She is hot.
She's way hot.
Yeah.
She's got that going for her.
I'd like to see her with about 80% less makeup, though. I thought she looked like a clown.
All right.
Okay. Let's stay away from the looks talk. We'll just talk
about
how
they overdo it on those pageants.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous with the hair and the makeup. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, okay. Well,
it's a beauty pageant.
You take her in the back 40 and hose her down and just take her to the Cracker Barrel at the general store, Grandpa.
You guys don't ever see girls that you think have crazy amounts of makeup on and they would be so much prettier if they didn't overdo it?
Yeah, but that didn't
strike
me about her.
That's the case with a lot of these girls on the pageants.
I'll tell you something. 90% of the time, flip it. See a girl who's really hot without her makeup. And see how that turns out for you. Invariably, it's a worse situation. It's a great book called, what's it, Porn Stars? Porn Stars Gone Natural or something? I don't know. It's like a coffee table book. And it's this woman who does makeup for porn stars. And she shoots them.
Oh, not before and after.
Au natural. And then with the makeup on. And some of your favorite porn stars who are just stunning when they're made up properly. And you see them how they just show up for work, and you're like, that my boner has crawled inside my body.
I've seen some of those pictures,
shocking,
too. That is also
shocking.
A thing.
So just thank your lucky stars and keep your pie hole shut, is what I'm saying. When it comes to Utah, because you don't know. You don't know what's under there.
That's true.
Just be happy.
It'd be a lot worse.
Be happy. It is Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Man O' Steel, as expected, was number one this week and did very well for itself. People seem to be genuinely split about this film. About 50-50 in terms of people that I've heard from, at least, who like it versus don't like it. However, it didn't stop people from wanting to go and check it out themselves. Made over $113 million this weekend.
I heard, Ralph, that this movie is going to make as much in its first week as the last Superman movie made in its whole time in theaters.
I don't know if that's the case or not, if you adjust for inflation. You know, Smith and I were talking about this weekend. We did a little review of Man of Steel, both sides. And we looked at the math, and I think it made something like worldwide $400 million or something, Superman Returns, by the time it was all said and done.
Wow.
Yeah, so I don't know if it'll make that much this weekend, but it might come close. It certainly is the biggest June opening of all time. Beat out Toy Story 3. Used to be the record holder for the biggest June opening. Took 60% of the weekend market. So 6 out of 10 people went to the movies this weekend, went to see Man of Steel. This is The End came in at number 2 with $20.5 million. Now You See Me, Fast and Furious 6, and The Purge were the top 5. Internship, Epic, Star Trek Into Darkness, After Earth, and Iron Man 3 rounding out the top 10. The second hottest story of the weekend has to be Kim Kardashian and Kanye West having their baby girl on Saturday at Cedars-Sinai.
Hurry up with my damn croissants!
Yeah. He calls the fetus a croissant, which I thought was really inappropriate. But he was in a hurry to get back to his record release party, so he asked Kim if she could just pop it up quicker.
And it was plural. He thought he was having two.
He did. He's weird. He doesn't know what's going on. He looked at her size and said, there's got to be more than one in there.
It's a litter.
So, apparently mommy and baby are happy and healthy and resting comfortably, and I'm sure they're being cooled with palm fronds and being fed grapes by a staff of several.
Sure.
Because that's how they roll. No name yet for the new Kanye-Kardashian combo.
Is Mom Chris going to sell the naming rights?
I think she will, yes. It'd be great to be like the Wells Fargo Kardashian-West baby. Well, the Comcast baby now, ladies and gentlemen. Lindsay Lohan is in the news. Shocking as it may be, it turns out that Lindsay may have left the Betty Ford Clinic for good reasons.
Well, first of all, she asked permission from the judge, and everybody signed off on it.
She did it all very legally.
Unbelievable.
And very, very through channels. Now, there was speculation initially. There were some rumors that her stay there at Betty Ford had become problematic because staff members and she were clashing on following the rules, that sort of thing. However, new information claims that there may have been a patient also at Betty Ford Clinic who managed to somehow sneak in a substantial amount of drugs, perhaps even OxyContin, who was then handing it out to several other patients.
That isn't good for you.
It's not if you're in rehab, that's for sure. Lindsay caught wind, reportedly, and felt she was doing so well in her recovery she didn't want to face the temptation, so she asked to be removed so that she wouldn't be have to deal with the fact that there were drugs in the
facility. This goes contrary to every story we've ever heard about her.
I know, unless this is the ray of sunshine.
I hope so.
That turns things around. So it's possible she may actually be taking responsibility for her own sobriety and wanted to move to a new facility in order to be in a more secure location. Hmm. Possible?
Sure.
Likely? I don't know. You tell me. And this one, oh, it's a perfect summertime story for me because this is where I spent my childhood summers. The summers of my youth were spent in a little seaside community known as Wildwood, New Jersey. I was there every summer for the majority of my entire life in Philadelphia.
Do you have the shirt before the shirt? You have that going on? You have any of the Jersey Shore
we
stuff?
We didn't. The Seaside Heights, where you see the Jersey Shore people, that was more North Jersey. So I was closer to New York, so they got a lot of those. South Jersey, which was Wildwood and Sea Isle and Cape May and those kind of small towns, were mostly Philadelphia tourists.
So just fighting.
So it was just a lot of fighting and drinking. However, the Wildwood, New Jersey City Council just passed a ban on wearing your pants too low.
It's only a matter of time.
If you walk around Wildwood, New Jersey with your underwear showing, with your ass hanging out, and your pants down around your hips,
they'll give you a ticket?
You get a ticket.
What?
They're trying to discourage gang behavior in the Wildwoods, and so they're asking people to pull their pants up.
Is this still a thing? I thought this was a thing like 5 years ago.
Oh, it was. Well, look.
Is it still a thing?
It's Jersey. Sure. You know, they shift a little bit slower than the rest of the
country.
They
probably just
sometimes.
Reached Jersey, and they're like, what is this strange you wear your pants down low thing?
Cancel band showing your ass. Wearing your pants too low. Well, the game has stepped up.
Uh-oh.
And he says that Wildwood's ban on exposed underwear is racist.
Racist?
Racist. So he has offered to pay the fines of the first five people who get busted for showing their skivvies. It's $25 for the first offense. Repeat offenders have to cough up $200. The game said no one can tell anyone how to wear their clothes, and this ban takes us, wait for it, back to the days of slavery.
Yes.
I knew it would have to show up sooner or later.
There it is.
It's akin to slavery. Or, you know what? You can just not go to Wildwood if you want to wear your pants down around your hips. You could just not go there.
I imagine that's really what they're aiming for.
I don't believe slaves had that option.
No.
I'm no specialist. I didn't write any books around you know, the late 1800s. But I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I think that you're right, Lisa. They want the type of person who would wear their pants that style and perhaps bring along a certain attitude with mm-hmm. them to just...
Go elsewhere.
Go someplace else.
Don't spend your summers in Wildwood, which is...
Golly, I'm going to need to change my pants.
Pretty much a family family vacation spot. So, but if you do get busted, the game's going to pick up your tab.
How about that?
Right.
Got to get
what?
Those...
What? I don't have pants? What? Yeah, exactly. That's what you're saying. The game's like, here you go. Here's your $20. And throw in a box of bullets. Today's celebrity birthdays. Venus Williams is 33 years old today. Actor, comedian Will Forte celebrates... 43 years. Jason Patrick's 47. Greg Kinnear. Remember when he was just the host of The Soup?
Sure.
Yeah.
And then the meteoric rise to film stardom.
Yep.
And now he's somewhere over here.
But he's a great actor.
He's a great actor, very much so. Thomas Hayden Church is 52 years old. Bobby Farrelly celebrates his 50th birthday. In fact, Bobby Farrelly and his brother directed Greg Kinnear and Matt Damon in that movie where they were conjoined twins.
Oh,
remember that?
Right.
Yeah. It all ties in. Joe Piscopo, 62 years old today. And legendary female singer Barry Manilow celebrates.
Yeah, we don't need
celebrates her 70th birthday today.
I don't believe that surgery has been completed yet,
oh,
Ralph.
Oh, really? I thought for sure. He does look like an old Jewish aunt.
He does. That's true.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Congratulations to Melissa Hernandez from Los Angeles. She is going to the Rock in Rio Festival in Rio de Janeiro,
aww,
Brazil. Yeah. Nice.
Come on.
So that's happening to Melissa.
Nice.
And for Melissa, and thank you for listening, and come back.
Come
don't,
back.
Don't stay there.
Just come back.
Is Brazil one of those countries that people don't come back
from? I think
from?
So.
Is something I should
sometimes
know?
On purpose, sometimes on accident.
Gotta be
it all
a little
depends.
Careful.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks a lot for tuning into the Kevin and Bean Show. Anderson Cooper is in the news. You guys watch his stuff on CNN? I think he does a pretty good job.
Nope. When I see him, he does a pretty good job.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's a good newsman, yeah. But he also seems like a fun guy. He's sure. Got a good sense of humor. And he has a segment on his nightly program called The Ridiculist, where he basically just talks about something dumb. And this time, he's talking about something dumb that has to do with heavy metal.
Time now for The Ridiculous. And tonight, we're adding heavy metal haters. That's right. You heard me correctly. I'm going to bat for heavy metal music, or more specifically, heavy metal songs about me. Like Uptown Girl and Tiny Dancer before me, I, Anderson Cooper, am now the subject of a soulful ballad. The name of the song? Well, it's called Anderson Cooper, which, let's be honest, has a certain understated charm, much like myself, if I do say so myself. The band's name is Cryptic Murmurs, and I think this song really captures my easygoing essence.
All right, so we're going to hear a little bit of Cryptic Murmurs. I did a little research. They seem to be a band out of British Columbia, or I think they're from Edmonton, now that I think about it. And their song is called Anderson Cooper. And the lyrics in this first verse we're going to hear, and I need to tell you what they are because you might not pick them out, are Anderson Cooper, CNN Cyborg, Anderson Cooper, CNN Superhuman. You guys with me?
Absolutely.
Eat your heart out, Metallica. Take note, Wolf Blitzer, because I shall henceforth be known as Anderson Cooper, CNN Cyborg. I'm not quite sure that is a compliment, but let's face it. Look, I've been called worse. But now, if you will indulge me, I want you to all sit back, put your feet up, and get ready for another soothing clip from my new theme song.
All right. Now, this one.
You have to tell us again in advance?
These are the lyrics. Usually has a stern look on his face, stands in the middle of hurricanes, is what we're about to hear. Now, if this song weren't called Anderson Cooper,
correct?
Zero. Who would be listening to this song?
No people.
Like, how does a song get made like this?
Zero people. I don't know. I mean, there's hard rock where there's screamo and there's everything else, but at least you can sort of understand.
Right, exactly. All right, let's see what Anderson has to say about this one.
Does face rhyme with hurricanes? It is really the musical equivalent of a warm bath, if you ask me. And okay, it's true, I sometimes do stand in the middle of hurricanes, but I reject the idea that I always have a stern look on my face. Sometimes I have an annoyed look on my face. Thank you very much. But you know, I cannot get mad, because honestly, this song is making me feel so warm and cozy. I mean, just you have to soak in some more of it.
Okay, again.
Clip three.
Cryptic Murmurs is the name of the band. The lyrics here are, he has never lost his composure ever, not even once, can politely question absolutely anyone into telling the truth. Pretty deep lyrics,
that's
right?
That's not a rhyme.
All these years, I've been waiting for someone to come along and vouch for my hard-nosed chops, my unflappability, if you will, and now the folks at Cryptic Murmurs have stepped forward to remind the world that I, Anderson Cooper, CNN Cyborg, have never once lost my composure, except when I'm laughing uncontrollably like a little girl.
Well, that was kind of the other famous thing that we know from Anderson Cooper. So again, come on, Anderson. Okay. It's just a song.
Sorry.
It's a compliment.
Can you imagine how the CNN people felt about that song? What are you doing, Anderson?
Okay. Cryptic Murmurs, if you want to check it out, if you want to hear more of their stuff. It is called, again, just Anderson Cooper. One more time. Here's a little bit of that. Good times. Sarah Saunders from West Hollywood, thank you for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show this morning. You just won tickets to the 5th annual Epicenter. We just announced it this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, coming back to the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater on Saturday, September 21st. Look, is there more a Southern California punk rock show than The Offspring, Bad Religion, and Pennywise all on one bill?
No.
Some of the greatest K-rock bands of all time.
I already
all playing
answered.
Together. Along with the Day to Remember, Pierce the Veil, and so much more, you can get exclusive pre-sale information for tickets going on sale this Friday at krock.com.
We have a new video that we're so in love with, and it's a pageant contestant. Her name is her title, I guess, is Miss Utah, and
yes.
She's so great.
Last night was the Miss USA pageant, which I think is one of the ones that Donald Trump owns, and they keep asking these women who get there because they're hot questions that they have to answer on the fly under pressure in front of an international audience.
I'm glad they do, because we get spectacular results from that.
Yes, lots of fails. Now, let's revisit, before we hear the latest, let's revisit some of our favorites in the past. Of course, who can forget? I think I'm under attack, by the way.
Yeah, what's happening?
I think I have a plane flag over
Fantastic.
My head.
Fantastic.
I think Miss Teen South Carolina may still be the all-time greatest fail under pressure, right?
Recent polls have shown a fifth of Americans can't locate the U.S. on a world map. Why do you think this is?
I personally believe that U.S. Americans are unable to do so because some people out there in our nation don't have maps, and I believe that our education, like such as in South Africa and the Iraq, everywhere like such as,
sure.
and
mm-hmm.
I believe that they should, our education over here in the U.S. should help the U.S. Or should help South Africa and should help the Iraq and the Asian countries, so we will be able to build up our future for our future.
Thank you very much, South Carolina.
Let's just admit right away that no one's ever going to beat her.
No.
Nobody's ever going to beat her. I mean, that really is spectacular. And then we had a former Miss Utah who gave this answer.
What song title best describes you?
You know what? Honestly, the song that describes me best is the national anthem.
National anthem describes her best.
Okay.
That was a former Miss Utah. Now we have a new Miss Utah.
Yes, new Miss Utah. She did not win the pageant, but she was put on the spot, asked this question by Nene Leakes, who I think is maybe a real housewife. Here's how it went down.
A recent report shows that in 40% of American families with children, women are the primary earners, yet they continue to earn less than men. What does this say about society?
By the way, before we hear Miss Utah's answer, Pauly D is DJing the Miss USA pageant last night.
Yeah.
Can he bring it down?
No, I don't think so.
Why are we at a Daft Punk concert? I thought we wanted to hear what the woman had to say. All right, so women are not making as much as men for the same work. What's up with that, Miss Utah?
I think we can relate this back to education and how we are continuing to try to strive to...
That's my favorite moment of the whole
Me
video.
Too.
She just stops.
She stops and kind of smiles
she
like,
did, yes.
I'm stepping in it right now, and there's
yep.
nothing I can do about it.
How many times have you been in that position, Kevin, when you realize a moment with Kevin is being made right now?
1 million times.
And you're trying to figure out, how can I get out of this sentence? But she's on TV in front of an audience that's starting to laugh, starting to applaud a little bit because they can see she's lost. Let's see if she can pick up the thread of it.
Figure out how to create jobs right now. That is the biggest problem, and I think especially the men are seen as the leaders of this, and so we need to try to figure out how to create education better so that we can solve this problem. Thank you.
I don't know that she's the woman to tell us how to create education better.
I'm going to take it a step further and say fail?
Fail.
Big
Pretty
fail.
Big fail.
What does that do? Did that blow your mind? That just happened.
Time for one more look at the Showbiz Beat. Ralph Garman is here to close out the Monday episode of The Kevin Meade Show.
I have nothing but good news this Monday.
All
That's
right.
what you need on a
awesome.
Monday morning. You need good news.
Yes.
Fire beer mug.
That's not the good news I have, sadly.
It's not that good, then.
It's not that good. Ow.
Sorry.
Tater tot down. Here's your top 10. The weekend box office. We do it every Monday morning to see what people went to see at the movies. Turns out 6 out of every 10 people went to see Man of Steel. In its debut, it made over $113 million just in the weekend alone. If you add in the additional Walmart Thursday night showings, you get closer to $125
million. What does that mean? Million. They showed it at Walmart?
Walmart had a deal, I think, if you bought some merchandise there or a toy or something, you got tickets to a special screening at
all
factory. It was some promotional event.
Yeah, these corporate screenings are becoming more common. It's another way to make money off a movie, I guess.
If you add that in and then you look around the world, actually, it's closer to a total of $197 million worldwide.
Oh, my God.
Since
right.
its release. So, doing very well.
So, without giving anything away, Ralph.
Spoilers!
How many people is Superman personally responsible for murdering in this movie?
I'd have to say hundreds of thousands.
That's not what you want in your superhero, right?
Not what I want, but I was told in very specific terms.
You were told you were wrong.
My friend Kevin Smith and many, many tweeters who are now since blocked, that it's the Superman for a new generation, man.
You just don't get it.
Stop it, old man, old fuddy-duddy, who wants Superman to save people's lives instead of take them.
The new generation is we have to accept a certain amount of collateral damage from Superman.
Yeah, man. That's the world we live in. That's modern times, man. Get with it, daddy-o.
A little bit of a fail if you're killing that many people.
You don't dig, Scooby-Bee-Bop, daddy-o.
You go to hell, you son of a bitch.
That's what they were saying, basically. The last 40 minutes of film are basically just a video game of Superman knocking down buildings with people inside of them.
Love it.
And then he gets very upset when one person's about to die, so I guess that makes
you
sense.
You don't know, man, because you weren't there.
I wasn't there. I was not in Metropolis during the time of the battle between Jor-El and Zod, or Kal-El and Zod, I guess. But,
sure.
What are you going to do?
What happened?
Man of Steel, number one. This is the End was number two at the box office. Now You See Me, Fast and Furious 6, and The Purge were your top five. The Internship, Epic, Star Trek Into Darkness, After Earth, and Iron Man 3. Rounding out the top 10 at your box office. I don't know if I talked about this on air or not. I don't believe I did. Real quickly, talking about movies. I was in New Mexico filming Seth MacFarlane's movie, and I found myself with some time on my hands, and I was in Santa Fe, New Mexico. Not a lot to do.
Right.
So I went to the local Cineplex, and they were showing Oblivion.
Yes.
The Tom Cruise science fiction movie. Which if memory serves, roundly mocked at the time of its release.
You did, and I saw it, and I was surprised.
And I said, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed how good it was. So I stand corrected to Mr. Cruise and company who made that film. I really was entertained by that movie. It's a little late now. It's hard to find. I don't even know it's in theaters other than Santa Fe, New Mexico.
It's in Santa Fe, New Mexico. Yeah.
But check it out on DVD if you get a chance.
Is it worth me flying to Santa Fe, New Mexico to see?
Absolutely. Yeah, I'd book your plane right now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Porn star Kim Kardashian and Kanye West welcomed their baby girl into the world this weekend at Cedars-Sinai Medical Center here in Los Angeles. No word on the name of their daughter just yet, but as soon as Kris Jenner works out the financial details, I'm sure the name will be announced.
Hurry up with my damn croissants!
I'm guessing Us Weekly West.
Could be.
People West? I'm trying to think what magazine she can make a deal with to name the
baby. I wonder, Ralph, if she will use her new daytime talk show to be the first place to unveil the baby.
When does that nightmare start?
July, I think.
July?
Yeah. Wouldn't that just be something?
That would be a way to drive eyeballs to that show for a certain segment of the audience.
Not for me.
Sure would.
Not for me either.
Sure can just hear it after that.
Way to drive eyeballs into my head with knitting needles. Yeah, that's horrible. This is a very cool thing. This is good news. If you like funny. Boy, this comedy tour they just announced on Live Nation today. Funny or Die presents the Oddball Comedy and Curiosity Festival. First, we had the Tenacious D Festival announcing their lineup, which is tremendous.
Right.
Now, Funny or Die comes back with their own comedy tour, which is doing 15 dates throughout the summer and early fall. Listen to this lineup. Dave Chappelle. When's the last time you saw him do some live stand-up?
Long time.
Al Madrigal. Brody Stevens. Dimitri Martin. Jim Jeffries.
Wow.
Christian Schaal, John Mulaney, Chris D'Elia, and perhaps the most exciting part for me personally, Flight of the Conchords reunited for this.
Everybody's been trying to get them.
How about that? Hits U.S. venue starting August the 23rd in Austin, Texas, will culminate with a show in Phoenix, Arizona, September the 22nd. 13 cities will be the beneficiary of this comedy tour. For us, personally, Irvine, California looks to be the closest place. Mountain View, California also getting a show further to the north. But September the 15th at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater in Irvine, California, you can see the Funny or Die Oddball Comedy and Curiosity Festival.
We see you girls checking out the front of our trunks. We see you girls looking at our junk, then checking out our rumps, then back to our sugar lumps.
I miss Concord so much.
Oh, I miss the Concords too. They're the best. I'm so excited they're getting back together again. Maybe we'll see another TV or film project.
Oh, that'd be so great.
Yeah. So you can go to Live Nation to get your tickets. Or Funny or Die, you can go there as well. It's good news, though, right?
Yeah, that's great news.
Good news for everybody. Not so much good news. Arnold Schwarzenegger talking to thearnoldfans.com. It just seems like a fan site that he would want to talk to.
No kidding.
It's named after me. It's good.
Talking about all his future projects, he confirming that the Terminator is returning in Terminator 5. He will once again play the Terminator, shooting in January. He also confirmed he is currently reading the script for Triplets,
the previously announced sequel to his 1988 buddy film with Danny DeVito. Twins was the name of that film. This is Triplets.
See?
Rumor still has it. Eddie Murphy will play the third
third
brother.
Was that was that funny? Was that a good movie?
No.
No. At the time, I don't think anyone realized how bad it was because it was, hey, look at that. Arnold's really big and Danny DeVito's really small.
Mm-hmm. It was bad.
You feel like maybe we're more sophisticated as moviegoers now? We won't accept that?
I believe so. He's also reprising his role as Conan the Barbarian in another film. So, getting a lot of Schwarzenegger coming up. These here pretty soon now times.
Any way we can get him back into politics instead?
Wouldn't that be great?
Could do more damage?
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Venus Williams.
Getting some slack for not getting the bell for Venus Williams.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, really? I didn't even think about that.
I didn't either.
Well, I apologize. I always thought Serena was way prettier than Venus, but all right. There you go for people.
I think she is prettier, but... All right.
Wow. We bow to public pressure, don't we?
Begrudging bell.
33 years old today. Actor-comedian Will Forte from SNL. 43 years old. Jason Patrick's 47. Greg Kinnear turns 50. Thomas Hayden Church is 52. Director Bobby Farrelly of the directing Farrelly Brothers is 55. Comedian Joe Piscopo is 62. And Ladyboy Barry Manilow celebrates.
If you only knew what I'm going through.
You've been playing Barry Manilow music all morning, Bean. I would say one out of all the songs you played is palatable. All the rest is just schmaltz.
Which one was decent?
It's
which one did you like?
Pure schmaltz. I didn't like any of them. What did you like?
I think Looked Like We Made It is sort of a sweet sentimental song. But Copacabana and Can't Smile Without You and
no, we don't need more.
I
need
like
less.
The songs. Oh, Jesus.
Oh, no, you can't.
No love for I Write the Songs either?
You sack!
When
you in New England, bro. Come on, listen to this. This is magic.
I am not a fan of this music.
Greatest song.
Nope, not that.
Greatest song he ever wrote was a song called You Deserve a Break Today. Remember that McDonald's theme? You deserve a break today.
From his the rest of his music.
So get out and break away to McDonald's. That was the best song he ever wrote.
No!
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph, for my morning. An all-new episode of What's Up with Florida?
What is up with Florida?
A lot of really wacky stories come out of there. We have you lied your way into your first job, or a job, which I'm sure
most of our audience has probably done.
If they're working.
You're my head, too.
The guy who played Hank on Breaking Bad, we have Dean Norris. He's an actor, and he's starring in Under the Dome, which is coming out very
can't
soon.
Can't wait for that. Looks
Me
awesome.
Too.
And also America's Got Talent? Judge Howie Mandel tomorrow morning.